station promise outstanding content, but when it's time to deliver, they fall flat on their ridiculous faces. Enter LA Talk Radio, a cool, irreverent, and entertaining talk station that delivers totally original content without any commercials. Log on to LATalkRadio.com and get involved with the best talk radio station on the internet. LA Talk Radio, we say what we want.
This station presents Real American Heroes.
Real American Heroes.
Today we salute you, Mr. I Don't Need Sunscreen Believer.
Mr. I Don't Need Sunscreen Believer.
Summertime fun is here, but while we slather on the copper tone, you stand in the sun in a state of denial, proudly proclaiming, real men don't use sunblock.
I think I can hear your skin sizzle.
For you, SPF means stupidity protection factor.
But at least you'll have family melanoma, yeah.
So the next time you see a guy on the beach soaking up the ultraviolet rays until he's ultra red and ultra sore, give him plenty of respect and lots of aloe vera. He's Mr. I Don't Need Sunscreen Believer, a real American hero.
Mr. I Don't Need Sunscreen Believer.
Just think, in about a week, it'll really look appealing. Get it?
Get ready for the best morning show on any kind of radio. Broadcasting live from the palatial studios of LA Talk Radio, get ready for Sam and Kara in the morning. Give Sam and Kara a call at 323-203-0815. And now, here are your hosts, Sam and Kara.
Good morning and welcome to Friday, May 28th.
Good morning, Los Angeles.
Facing a three-day weekend, and we're excited.
That's awesome. That's so awesome. Are you excited about it?
I'm excited about it. That's one more day that I can sleep in, and I'll embrace that.
But, I mean, are you going to do anything fun?
I want to, but like I told you, you know, I hate to leave town when everybody else is.
My brother
did something smart. He left yesterday.
Oh, he did?
And they're coming back Sunday, so it's like before everybody else.
Practical vacationers.
There you go.
Yeah.
Some people can afford that and can allow themselves to do that, but I have to work. What can I tell you?
Whatever. You could have rolled out of bed and just gone.
I suppose. So, Kara and I were on the Sheena Metal Experience show last night.
Awesome show.
And that was fun, huh?
She's so cool. I love her personality. She's kind of a heavy hitter, just down to earth, kind of like boom to the point, and I like people like that.
Yeah.
And she's cool. She's very open-minded, and you know,
yeah,
I thought she was way cool.
Right. And our listeners, if you guys listened to the show last night, you won't hear anything new about us, really. I mean, we talked about the same things.
Yeah,
Kara's
they were just
boobs and everything in between.
No, but they were just kind of recapping our dynamic in the show, and of course the humor for their listeners. So
yeah, and some behind the scenes.
Yeah. We were like, there's really not much behind the scenes considering we have no pre-production at all.
Yeah, well, I was gonna tell her that we mess around when we're not on the air, but
yeah, that's believable.
I didn't think she'd believe it.
No.
No, huh?
Yeah, I don't want to hear it from Dina either. Like, what? No.
Yeah. So you're looking beautiful this morning.
Thank you. Thank you.
And you told me you wore makeup that's not your normal one. Is that what happened?
I lost half my makeup. And if you guys are women out there and, you know, just have stashes of makeup. If you're on the go and you're doing it in your car, half of my makeup's done in the car usually.
Mm-hmm.
Real safe, you know, real safe.
It is. You do a lot of safe things.
I actually feel very bad about how reckless I am. I mean, I need to get it together so that I'm you know, preemptively thinking about other people. I get so scattered and I do so many things that I put myself and other people at jeopardy.
Yeah.
And I've gotten so good at it. And I feel really bad about it. I'm like, that's just not the way to be. It's thoughtless.
Yeah.
You know?
Sometimes it's worse than drunk driving, you know, because you're distracted.
I'm so distracted and it's awful. So I'm like, you know, put more time into just being still, doing what you need to do and then going.
Sounds good to me.
Anyway, so that's my confession. But no, I mean, I just didn't have all my makeup with me. Not that you guys care. Mm-hmm. But whatever.
Whatever.
Whatever. Yeah. But anyway, my face looks good.
Yeah.
Okay.
Looks very good. You look good every day.
Thanks.
Yeah.
Love you, Sam. Love you too.
Well, good.
You look great too. You always smell
good.
Thank
you. Really.
Sam's always rocking a good cologne. What are you wearing?
Yeah. I told you.
Well, say it again.
You asked me a million times.
Because I don't remember this
Gucci
shit.
It's Gucci by Gucci.
Gucci by Gucci. Gucci, 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 Gucci.
But it does smell good.
It does smell good. I like a good smelling man. Mm-hmm. I made a joke about, you know, there's that you smell an older man, an older gentleman, and they've got kind of like old man cologne on, but it doesn't smell gross like grandpa. It just smells more distinguished.
Right.
And I remember walking by a dude one time, and just the smell came over me, and I was like, that just smells like a man that pays his bills. It smells like a man that pays his bills on time.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, he's had plenty of years to earn the money.
Yeah, it just smells like a bill-paying man. I like it.
Yeah.
Speaking of paying the bills, so I told you I'm kind of slowing down with the dating thing because I'm just like, it's just gotten too weird.
You never told me that.
Well, I decided it yesterday.
Oh, I
see. After I had that awkward experience where the guy's card got declined.
Uh-huh.
And that's after another dude wanting me to pay for the bill and then us going Dutch. I'm like, either I'm...
But don't let that discourage you.
No, no, no. I mean, I've got so much going on anyway. It's just, it's not a big deal. I'm not like, if somebody asks me out, I'm not going to like... And I like them. I'm not going to say no.
Right.
But I'm just not going to actively look for it.
Exactly,
I just, you know, I've got a lot going on. And if I keep running into these snags, maybe I need to step back and take a look or just, it's just kind of weird. I don't know if it's the culture, if it's me or a time in my life or what. But I did get asked out by a guy for this Saturday. Oh, I've got two dates on Saturday, actually.
Okay.
But after that, I swear.
Yeah,
I'm
after that, you'll slow down.
No, I've got a coffee date, like an afternoon. And then I have a date on, Saturday night. Well, the guy that asked me out for Saturday night, he is from Texas, and he's doing everything right. Like, he's like, may I take you out? Da, 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 da. He's very chivalry. It's really nice. I mean, he's just very gentlemanly. He's just so doing, and he wants to do everything I want to do. Like, we like this. We're going to go karaoke.
Ah,
and then we're going to go to this dance, this like wedding music style dancing party.
Yeah.
Where, you know,
why would you do that?
Oh, for fun. He's goofy. So am I. So we're going to, it's going to be, regardless if it's a love connection, we're going to have a blast.
Yeah.
I already know it.
Where did you guys meet?
Me. Where else do you think?
Online?
Yes,
really?
Online. Yes.
Oh,
online.
So you talked on the phone already?
Yes.
Oh, cool.
So, but here's my only thing, though.
Uh-huh.
Well, my two only things, though.
Your two only things.
Is he sounds gay.
He does.
Well, here, this has happened to me before once, where the guy is really good looking and he's really into me, but he sounds effeminate. And I don't think I'm being too critical here. The first time this happened to me, we spoke on the phone and we were about to meet up like a few hours later. We were just firming up plans.
Mm-hmm.
And he's really good looking. And I was like, he sounds gay. Like, his voice just sounds kind of high-pitched.
I know
like
exactly
this.
What you mean.
And it was like a feminine energy that I was getting. But I thought, oh, you're being critical. Just go and have fun. You know, just meet the guy. So I met him, and it was like, we're sitting there, and he was, do you like dancing? He goes, what do you think? What do you think? And I was like, I think you're gay is what I think, basically. He's like, what do you think? And I'm like, I think I can't sit here.
So you already met with him?
This was a while ago.
I see.
This is like a year ago when I...
Really?
This is a different guy. Total different experience.
Oh, okay.
But
I thought you were talking about the guy.
Well, I'm talking about a previous experience where I was attracted to the guy. We talked on the phone, and then he sounds gay. And I was like, no, you're being critical. Go meet him. I meet him, and it seems like he's gay.
Really?
I'm like, don't. And he was like coming on to me. I'm like, why are you coming on to me? You don't even like women. I could tell. but he was like, he was like trying to come on to me. And he got me a rose, like a one long stemmed rose and stuff. I was like, oh, let's not do this. Like,
wow.
Let's not pretend that you're into women. Or let's not pretend that I've got too much more masculine me than you have.
But I mean, if he was gay, why would he go through all the trouble?
But it's not that he's even gay. I'm just saying he sounds so effeminate.
Right.
And he sounds like very, very
sensitive.
And he
wants a nice, muscular, manly man.
Masculine. Yes. I mean, it's just an energy, right?
Uh-huh.
So this guy is, he's doing everything right. He's being so, like, intentional and purposed in his approach with me.
Mm-hmm.
That's a real turn on because it's like a leadership type thing. But he sounds really gay. And I'm like, what the? And I'm still going to go out with him because I don't care if he's gay or not. We're going to have a blast. I know it's going to be fun. But I'm just like, you know, I'm kind of at the crossroads of like, oh, man, this is weird. So there's that.
God, and stuff that women have to
do. I know.
With.
It's weird. But I mean, I couldn't even explain it because you'd have to be on the date to experience it. I mean, he was so effeminate. He was like pursing his lips and going, what do you think?
Yeah.
He's like, maybe you should check out my music MySpace page sometimes and listen to my music.
Yeah.
He's
Did
like,
he
I play
stick
the,
his pinky
he's like,
finger out when he's
like,
drinking?
I play the ukulele. He doesn't play the ukulele, but whatever. You get my point. I play the ukulele and the xylophone. You know?
You know that a lot of people play the ukulele? My son just got one the other day.
What the
day.
F? Do you,
yeah, and he's a guitarist.
Are you
know?
Serious? The ukulele?
But, yeah. At that age, they love him for some reason.
How old is he?
It's like the coolest thing right now. He's almost 17.
Maybe it's like a throwback instrument. They're like bringing, like retro, bringing it back.
Yeah, I don't know what it is, you know, but they retro seem style. To like it. Yeah, they seem to think that the chicks like it, so
really?
They play. Yeah.
Maybe.
Yeah,
I mean,
I'm telling you, the generations change.
Generations change, but he was like, I play the xylophone, I play the freaking spoons. I'm just playing. He never said any of that. But this dude that I'm supposed to go out with Saturday, which I'm looking forward to because of the activities and because he seems like a really fun guy, he just sounds effeminate. Mm-hmm. Second point I want to make, okay,
uh-huh.
is the financial issue. I'm at the point now, I have no problem if I need to buy my own whatever, I won't. I just won't go out with you. But
yeah.
I want, not on the first day. That's just cheap as hell.
Yeah.
But I kind of want to go, okay, you're asking me out. Does that mean you're paying for this? Like, how does this work?
Yeah.
I almost want to just go, what are we doing?
I know.
And it's so unromantic to bring. It's unromantic to bring it up. But I just kind of, I don't want there to be anything awkward. I don't want it to be an issue where the guy's card gets declined. I don't want him to feel.
Yeah, but you can't help it. You're trying to control everything.
Exactly. You're right. But anyway, so after this weekend, and then I'm going to coffee with another dude, I'm not going to do it anymore. Unless I'm, you know, it naturally happens.
Yeah, I think for the most part, people will pay for dinner, so I wouldn't be surprised. I mean, I wouldn't be too concerned.
But I mean, I've had too many weird incidences.
Yeah.
Those are weird incidences.
Those are weird.
And it starts to make me feel like maybe I'm some materialistic girl or something because I want the guy on the first few dates to pick up the tab.
Mm.
Does it make me a bad girl?
No, it doesn't make you a bad girl. I mean, it makes you like pretty... I think most women think that way.
But do you think
it's
wrong?
You know, they expect the guy... No.
Like as a man?
I mean, look, in general, I just always ask, you know, it's like, why? Why is the guy supposed to pay? But I can understand it because culturally that's what happened for centuries. So that's why we do it.
Well, it's sexy. And, it's attractive.
And like you said, you know, whoever is the one that asks to go out probably should pick up the bill.
Well, I think so too. I mean, I thought it was just understood, but I feel like I'm kind of encountering a lot of weird issues. So it's starting
but
to
But don't let it discourage you. I mean, you know, what the hell? Just kind of go along with it and see what surprises might be in store for you. You know?
Yeah.
You never know.
So, so that's that. And,
but you are looking forward to it. So that's a good thing.
Yeah. I mean, he's going to be, I even told him on the phone, I was like, look, man, even if this isn't a love connect, you and I are going to have a blast. He's like, I'm down.
Yeah.
Because I mean, he might be like my new gay best friend that's in the closet. Who knows?
Yeah.
So weird.
Yeah.
It's just.
Who was it that said, I think it was Mary that was here the other day. She said, every woman should have a gay friend.
A gay best friend.
True, right?
I have some really good close ones.
Yeah?
Yeah. We get down.
They're cool.
Oh, one of my favorite friends. He's just so funny and talented, and he's bitchy though, but so am I, so we get along well. We have
bitchy.
Like a love-hate relationship.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Are you bitchy, really?
No, I'm not. I'm just I'm playful. I'm argumentative, you know.
Right.
Argumentative is even probably not the accurate
word.
Yeah,
but you're not a complainer or anything.
No. Yeah. I just like to I like to debate pretty much everything.
Right.
It's fun for me, and for everybody it's not. It's
well,
fun.
Well, if they can't handle it, you move on to the next person.
And I know, I've learned certain people, you know, you can't go there with, or they take it sensitive, or they're sensitive towards it, or something like that.
Yeah.
But it's verbal sparring, as our friend told us. So,
I suppose, yeah.
Verbal sparring, but it more verbal competition.
Yeah?
But
you
for
think
fun.
That's what it is?
Yeah, I think it's stimulus. Yeah. And it's, I think part of it's a learning, the way I learn.
Yeah. Part of it is the courtship also, I think, you know, sort of like seducing each other with words and...
Yeah, we're flipping to romance? Yeah, absolutely. It's a challenge. It's fun. But, I mean, going back to my gay friend, I'm going to do it with my gay friend. I'm not looking to laid by him. I'm just, you know, it's just, we have fun and, you know, we just have these pet names and we get into arguments and he always goes...
Well, that's cool.
He goes, trash, total trash. That's his word, trash.
Yeah.
Like white trash. He's like, trash. He's really, really, really funny and talented.
So that's cool. So you got two dates lined up.
Two
for
dates
this
on
weekend.
Saturday. Any takers, feel free to call. No.
Two dates on Saturday or one Friday?
No, two dates on Saturday.
Really?
The one's a coffee date.
I see.
So
okay.
It's gonna be like what, an hour?
Wow, you're way out there, let me tell you.
I've been just so busy this week. I've been working on so many things that I've neglected a lot of my friendships and one of my friends was like, where have you been? And I was like, I don't know. I've been trying to be productive this week. It's so overrated and it's only making me narcissistic. Let's hang out.
Yeah.
I don't know if you noticed this, but people come here and they pursue the entertainment industry
right.
and they come out here because, well, most of them, hopefully, because they're creatively driven. And they have a vision. They have a dream, right?
Right.
And it's creative. Well, then they get here and they realize, oh, there's a whole business side to this. And it's 90% business and 10% creative, actually, until you get there. And then mm-hmm. it's creative. And so a lot of people spend so much time marketing, promoting themselves, the administrative side, the business side, and they're not really doing the creative as much because they have to get themselves out there. And it's such a hard balance to be able to do both. Mm-hmm. And I find that when, and not just myself, I mean, my friend that I was talking with yesterday and a bunch of people, the more you kind of are chasing the auditions or you're working on your websites or you're promoting your next show, it becomes me, 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 me. It's not a creative outlet. It's not that you're working on your art, but it's all about da-da-da-da-da-da, get ahead, get ahead, get ahead. And part of it, you need to do that, but it's just, it starts to feel empty. It feels like a black hole. You're not hanging out with people. You're not getting out there. You're just on the computer. And I've had a couple weeks like that, and I've gotten some good things done, but at the same time, it's just, I'm like, oh, this is not the way I've been made and designed. I'm not designed to do this.
Right.
You know,
right.
I'm not designed
so,
to
So, I mean, are you focused on what you want to do, really?
Yeah, I mean, I'm working my ass off.
As far as music, you mean?
With my comedy.
Oh, your comedy,
yeah,
okay.
With my comedy, and I've just sent out a lot of stuff to some, you know, bookers and things like that, so, mm-hmm. you know, I've been working on my promo stuff, and you know, really, really focused on it. And yeah. as far as
but
music
I mean,
goes,
if you were like, if you were able to be successful in a career, that's what you want to do, comedy?
Well, I mean, I think that I see myself, the bigger vision, I see myself having my own show. I see myself doing live theater, sold out shows of comedy slash mm-hmm. music. I see myself having CDs. But the reality is that's at a different level when you have the resources to kind of invest on all those different spectrums.
Right.
What I find that's flowing and opening up for me more is the comedy. So that's what I'm really putting my effort in.
Yeah.
And music takes resources that I just don't have right now.
Right.
Which you mean going back to the studio, re-recording. There's a whole different business side to the music as well.
Yeah.
That, you know, I always say, you know, music's my heart and my personality is comedy. Mm-hmm. And I'm just kind of going where I feel like the doors are opening. And that's where I'm kind of getting the most activity.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah. You know what? If you hook up with someone who knows this stuff, you don't have to go into a studio. You know, there's people that have setups at home.
Well, I just, like I said, I think
and,
of it
you know,
like
they create all the music.
I know there's
on the
a
computer.
Lot of different opportunities. Uh-huh. I've pursued so many different avenues to get this stuff off the ground. And if you're working that hard, you're not getting anywhere. Mm-hmm. Maybe you reddirect your energy somewhere else and just hope, you know, in time that it'll
well,
open up.
Well, either that or you persist. You know,
I mean. Well, I mean, it's not like I haven't done that, and it's not like I'm giving up on it either. I'm just, it's mm-hmm. kind of on hold. Because I've got a multi-talented, so I mean it's like one thing's got to kind of open up, you know, and that's where I'm pursuing is the comedy, and it's been really successful, and I'm
good.
Yeah,
good.
So it's good. I've got
as
a lot
long
of
as you focus on something.
Yeah, I've got you know, I mean it's always a person that has like one talent telling the person with 10 to focus. I think it's hysterical. I think practically speaking, yes, you got to pick something to a degree, but I believe it's a domino effect. Work mm-hmm. gets you work. So the same thing creatively. I think when you're just flowing in your creativity, mm-hmm. it just opens up. Things open up, and then the other things will open up to you for you as well, where, you know, music opens up or things like that.
Right.
And I think you just have to kind of be sensitive to the opportunities and really just flow in your gifts and your talents. That is the most important thing.
Right.
Because you can get so sidetracked with the business and get so sidetracked with getting ahead, mm-hmm. working on yourself.
Right.
And you're not doing anything that you're really good at. You're not really flowing in your gifts and talents.
Mm-hmm.
And I find that to be more advantageous to just stop, get out there, do some shows or, you know, do whatever it is, charity events, whatever, and do your stuff.
Right.
And then you're seen and, you know, opportunities just kind of come from all different angles. So. Mm.
Okay. Well,
yep.
You pursue comedy then.
Mm-hmm.
So you're not going to go out of town this weekend or anything, right?
No, I didn't even know it was Memorial Day weekend until recently.
Really?
And
well, I didn't either, but once
I'm sure there's going to be some kind of barbecue in my neighborhood. I'll just jump over a fence or something or go walk in. Hey, what's going on, Joe? Never met you. Hey, can I have a chicken strip here and jump in your pool? Cannonball.
Yeah.
Margaritas! No, I live in a really cool area, so there's a pedestrian feel, and there's a lot of you want to call them regulars, but people that have a lot of barbecues and things like that, so
yeah.
I'll probably just go in, and I definitely want to get a really, really big hike in this week, just
yeah.
a really good running slash hike. I went last weekend, and it was breathtaking, so today is gorgeous. I may just do it today as well.
Yeah,
after
today is nice, and I'm thinking actually of taking a ride on the bike on the beach or something.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've missed that, you know. I used to do that a lot.
Oh, yeah?
So, yeah, I mean, I need to get out of the house a little bit, you know. And I actually think there's not going to be a lot of people in town because everybody's going out, you know.
I think you should totally do it.
Yeah.
Go bike ride.
Bike ride, yeah.
Go bike ride.
That sounds
good. Put your sunscreen on
yourself. I sure ain't going to run.
You're not going to run.
I don't know how you can do it, man.
I can't run
for 100 feet before I'm just...
Running is something you have to be conditioned to do, but anybody can do it.
Yeah.
That's the cool thing. Anybody pretty much can run. They think they can't, but they can.
Yeah.
Yeah. Unless there's some kind of medical issue or you've torn
or they smoke a lot of cigarettes. Like
well, even smoking would be great for you.
Yeah.
You know why? Because it would get out a lot of the stuff that's in your lungs. And I think because it would be hard in some ways, it would probably affect the way you smoke, and you'd probably start to smoke less.
Yeah. Well, let me tell you. I mean, in the past, when I quit smoking, usually what helped me is going, becoming athletic, you know?
Yeah.
Going to the gym. And,
it's really connected, huh?
Yeah. Yeah. Because then you view yourself as a healthy person,
uh-huh.
and then the cigarettes don't really fit in the lifestyle.
No. You know? And then the more you focus on your workouts, the more you're going to be like, oh, the cigarette is
draining. Doesn't taste as good either anyway, you know?
But I think it'd be great. Start off walking and then go, okay, I'm going to run from here to the stop sign. And then you stop, you rest, you stretch, and you walk a little bit more. And you go, okay, I'm going to run from here to the tree.
Right.
You know, you just make – and the cool thing about it is it's an individual – you could do it in groups, but it's not like you have to compete against anybody except yourself.
Right.
So really you can make the markers that you want. No one's there to judge you.
Right. So you can learn to push yourself.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
And that's what's really cool. And there's a really big sense of gratification, I think – and running because it isn't easy.
That I can understand.
It's not easy until you get there. And then you go, man, I've just ran 5 miles. And that's considered normal now. If I run 5 miles, it's normal to me.
Yeah.
I mean, I haven't done
Isn't it
like,
amazing? We had Simon here. We were talking about triathlons.
He's so cool.
And I don't know how people can do it. I mean, it's like I admire people that can actually do that. You know?
It's so cool. Oh, man, it really is. I mean, that's something I would love to do again. I really want to do a real marathon again where I pay for it and I start at the beginning and I don't bootleg my ass. And
you really think you can run 26 miles?
Oh, yeah. If I run 17, I can run 26.
Really?
It's still a huge difference. I mean, that's another 9 miles, right? 17.
Yeah.
It's another 9 miles. And I mean, if I trained properly, I could do it. A friend of mine, he ran one and he was dead. And then he said the second one he ran, he trained properly and conditioned his body, and he didn't stop really throughout the whole marathon, which I thought was ridiculous.
Yeah, I would imagine you have to practice and prepare for it every day.
And I know it wasn't like I went in there not as a runner. I went in there as a runner, but not that kind of training. But if I had that kind of training, I could do it and probably be in a lot less pain.
Yeah.
And, you know, just condition your body.
Yeah.
But it's also a commitment to the training, too. Like, my friend who did it, she had to wake up usually at 5 a.m. on Saturday morning. Mm-hmm. So it was constantly like, oh, I got to wake up early on Saturday.
Yeah.
Get my long run in. But, I mean, it's cool. I mean, I think that's I would love to do it.
I think there's people that actually enjoy it, you know, when they do that. You've got to like it, you know? I mean, otherwise, how can you keep pushing yourself to run?
I love running. When you start getting into the second hour of running, that's when you start, like, the 2 hours. You're kind of like, man, I've been running for 2 hours.
Mm-hmm.
But what was interesting, though, is the marathon I did was... It was so cool to be out there with all these people.
Mm-hmm.
And it felt kind of as though it wasn't, it was long, but it wasn't as strenuous as I thought. I mean, physically, what hurt were my orthopedic, like ankles, bones hurt.
Right.
Muscles tightened up.
Right.
It wasn't cardio. That's why I know I can do it. Because I didn't even feel fatigued as much cardio because I was so limited. Everything hurt. So I was running slower, I was stretching more, I was stopping.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I didn't feel like, oh my gosh, I'm going to die.
Mm-hmm.
I would have rather had a cardio tired than like a physical pain type thing.
Yeah.
But it's so cool. It's cool to kind of push yourself to see how far your body can go.
That's true. I mean,
it's really
cool, but it just doesn't interest me in, you know, personally, it doesn't appeal to me. I mean, there's other things that I'd like to do and improve myself or...
Like what?
You know. I don't know. I haven't thought about it. But no, I mean, like business and, you know, and talents and things like that, you know.
Mm.
And so I challenge myself that way, you know.
Yeah.
And,
you're very business-minded, huh?
Yeah. And, well, I don't know if I am, but I'm thinking of writing a book right now.
Oh, really?
Publishing like an e-book.
Oh, cool. And what would it be about?
I don't know. I'm not going to say yet.
Okay.
Yeah, but it would be but something I'm passionate about. You know? I mean, that's what it has to be.
Well, absolutely.
Yeah. It's not sex, though.
No?
No. I'm very passionate about that, but it's not about that.
No. You're so funny. I know you've got a lot of layers, Sam. I know you're not just a horn dog.
Yeah. No, no. Yeah, you know, and I've got a lot of talents, you know,
in
music and stuff. So, and writing and, yeah, so, you know, I'm pretty at a good place in my life right now.
That's good. You know? Are your kids, are they super proud of you with the station and everything?
I don't know. They don't really give a shit.
Really?
Yeah. They're busy with their own lives right now.
Little brats? Do they know, like, how much work you put into this thing? And
yeah, I don't know, but I'm sure they'll be here one day wanting to inherit it all.
Oh, I know.
Well, that's kids for you. What are you going to do? You know, during the teen years, they're like out there, man. You can't even connect with them. Although that's not the case with my kids, you know, but they're very busy now doing other things.
Okay. Yeah.
Being with their parents is not a top priority.
Yeah, they're like learning the ukulele.
Yeah, but that's why I see them once, twice a week at least, you know. We went to
dinner. You saw your son last night?
Yeah, and we went to dinner. We went to a deli. We had matzo ball soup. And,
oh, yeah?
Yeah, and we bonded that way.
That's cool.
Yeah.
Now, I mean, as a man, I know that they say men bond over activities. They're not so much verbal. I mean, you're a little different, but, you know, but with your son, do you feel like if you ask him direct questions and stuff, does a conversation flow, or do you guys kind of have to be doing something?
No. We talk all the time.
Okay.
Yeah, we don't have to do activities. That used to be when they were younger, because that's what kids want, you know?
Yeah.
They want this, they want that. You know, we'd go on and the Segway. Have you ever been on a Segway before? You know what those are?
Oh, is that like the motorized? Movers? Oh my gosh, those are cool.
Yeah,
huh?
They're so cool. You look a little nerdy on there, but it's the coolest thing you've ever seen. You know?
Oh, really?
You just kind of stand on it. You lean forward and it starts moving, you know?
And what about balance and stuff?
It takes you a few seconds and you learn how to. You know, it's not a big deal because it's got weights and, you know, all kinds of stuff in there. So it keeps you... it keeps you up. I mean, you don't fall easily. But the hardest part is really getting on it and off it.
Mm.
But, you know, they let you ride around for about 10, 15 minutes. They train you. And then you go out there, you know. And on the Santa Monica Walk, I mean, it's amazing there. You know, right there on the beach.
Mm-hmm.
You can get to Marina del Rey. What I like about it, it's like walking, but you get to see a lot more, you know, because you move a lot faster.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. But it's a lazy man's bike, you know?
I know, that's funny. Well, they have a lot of, like, the security and hospitality people are on Segways down at Santa Monica Pier.
Yeah,
and the promenade. They just kind of go around, tell people
really?
Where stuff
is. Oh, really? You've seen them? Yeah.
Yeah, they go around, they tell people where stuff is, things like that.
Yeah. And, you know, it's cool because they have some for, like, off-road stuff.
Mm.
I would love to try that, you know, just kind of go out in the wild and ride these things.
They've got off-road Segways?
What?
They've got off-road Segways?
Oh, yeah.
Really?
Yeah. Like big tires and rugged. Yeah, it's pretty cool.
That's kind of... See, it always looks a little bit like futuristic industrial and stuff.
Yeah. It is cool. It never caught on, though, you know?
But no, it really didn't.
But, you know, I mean, in cities where there's a lot of tourists, like when I was in Amsterdam, I thought, shit, I should start a business of Segways around here, you know, and take tours, and that would be really cool.
Have everybody on a Segway?
Yeah.
That is a cool idea. Why didn't it work out?
So, yeah, because you got to live there to have a business. You can't have a business in Amsterdam and live here.
Yeah.
You know, and...
How'd you like Amsterdam?
In a position. I love Amsterdam. Are you kidding me?
What do you love so much about it?
One of my favorite places. I like the smoking pot. I like that.
Yeah.
It's funny that I say that, but the bottom line really is there is a lot to do there, you know. I love the canals there. I love walking around there. It's just an amazing place. There's museums. There's everything. And the only thing is if you get high, it just feels a lot better.
Really? I've never been high.
Really?
Never. I don't even know.
Never tried pot?
No, I think I tried it when I was in high school, but it never went in.
Didn't agree with you.
No, I don't know if I inhaled it
you
or what.
You didn't feel anything.
Nothing.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't even think I inhaled it. Like, you know when you don't really know what you're doing.
Yeah.
You're like,
but you don't have any desire for it or anything.
No, I mean, I got alcohol.
Yeah.
I mean, what? A couple drinks and I'm good. You know? I'm like two drinks and I'm good. Three drunks is bad. Three drunks. Hey, listen, Ossifer. Three drunks is amazing. Two drinks is good. Three drinks is, really good to bad. Because I'm just a lightweight when it comes to alcohol. But that's great, you know?
Yeah, so you don't require a lot.
And I like wine a lot. Wine makes me sleepy, but liquor is quicker.
Yeah.
No, but liquor is just more up, I think, an upper versus...
Yeah. It's amazing how many women like wine. I don't know. Maybe it's sensuous to them.
It's so sensuous. But I even have girl night, and we have wine, and it is just... It's something about pouring it in the glass and swishing it around. And my roommates, they actually belong to a wine club, so they get sent like these big boxes of wine, mm-hmm. and they have descriptions of the wine. And so what we do is they pour their fancy wine for us too. They're really sweet. They share it, and we all smell it, and then we take little sips of it, and then we try to guess the notes in the wine. Uh-huh. Like, is it oaky? Does it have strawberry? Like the different elements. And we don't look at the description. And then when we're ready, we look at the description and see who gets closest to it to kind of train your palate.
Yeah.
I've won a couple times, but it's a refined kind of palate to be able to, taste it. And I'm not like that refined with
it. Yeah, I suppose. Yeah.
But I think wine is very sensuous.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I guess.
And
you
I
know,
like martinis too.
It's sort of like a mood that goes with it,
Yeah, it's fun. It's intimate. It's, anything in excess can be bad and sloppy.
Yeah.
Like
That's
your
true.
Birthday. I was a little sloppy at Sam's birthday. I was like, I'm ready to party!
Yeah. I know. Well, actually, the two guys that we hung out with here at the party are going to be here in about half an hour.
Perfect.
And they have a new show here. Well, it's not that new anymore, but...
I listened to it once.
They're a lot of fun.
Yeah.
And Justin and Rob, so
they're
hopefully they'll be
dudes.
Here. We're going to take a little break. We'll be back right after this.
For the most entertaining talk anywhere, stay tuned to LA Talk Radio, your real talk station, your real 24 hours of commercial-free programming.
All of your phone and jump in on the conversation. Dial 323-203-0815. That's 323-203-0815 and get in on the fun. Now, let's get back to Sam and Karen in the Morning on LA Talk Radio.
Are you going to see Sex and the City too?
It's funny. The guy I was talking about, my gay friend. Yeah, he's like, let's go do this. And I'm just not a really huge fan about the Sex and the City.
That is a gay friend.
Yeah.
Who wants to see that kind of show.
Yeah. Well, here's the thing. The fashion is great, and I like that it is a female show that is a force to be reckoned with. I mean, some of the cool things about the show is that. And Meryl Streep has said that there's a lot of stories that aren't being told because a lot of women just aren't leading movies. There's very few women that actually carry movies.
Mm-hmm.
There's very few movies that are all female centered. There's just a lot of women are kind of pushed aside. And so when you have a cast of all women that is rocking and rolling at the box office, it's really going to speak volumes to studios and let them know that there's a voice, there is a huge presence of women that want more movies that are kind of speaking their language.
Yeah.
So I really respect the franchise and the movie for those purposes, and I love the actresses. But I will say, some of it's fun. So there's some truth in some of it, but there's also a real cold kind of emptiness to, I believe, these stories.
Mm-hmm.
I feel...
Well, that's the point they're trying to drive home, you know?
Maybe. I don't really think it's the point. I think they're kind of trying to talk about, these are women, these are their lives, these are the different kind of women that are out there, and kind of... I was told that from an author standpoint that it's all about one character, but then all the different women represent the different sides of her. But
right.
But it's played out as all these different people. And I think that's pretty an interesting concept. But this whole, like, I'm fabulous, I'm free, it's kind of, we're so liberated, and yet a lot of them are really sad.
Yeah, well, that's what they're trying to say, I think.
I don't think that's what they are trying to say. I think they're trying to say that this is fabulous and we're liberated. I think it's kind of sad. But have you watched it, any of it?
No.
Okay.
Well, actually, no, I never watched the show.
Yeah.
But my wife dragged me to see the first movie.
Yeah.
And I finally had to leave halfway through, you know?
Yeah,
I just couldn't take it anymore.
Wouldn't expect you to watch.
Yeah.
Sit there. But
Men should not go to see that.
No,
movie.
I mean, well, I mean, women are women. I mean, women are human. There's some human cool stories. There's, it's not like I can write it off and go, oh, I don't like it. But there's elements of it that just turn me off as though this just isn't. You can dress people up in nice outfits and give them money, but still, at the end of the day, it's like they're still sad.
Yeah.
There's a lot of, I don't know. There's just sadness.
But the interesting thing about it is, you know, the way they cast it, it's not like perfect looking women, you know, they more or less try to make them.
Yeah, women in their 40s and
50s,
actually.
Yeah, try to make them. Well, I mean, but there's like really hot ones, you know.
I think they're all beautiful, but they're older.
Yeah. Well, no, I don't think they're that pretty. None
of them.
Really? None of them?
None of them.
None of them? None of them.
Really?
Yeah.
I think
they're
beautiful.
More like ordinary people.
Really? Yeah, no, yeah. I don't think so at all. I think they're all very beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean they're a mature beauty though. They're not like your 19-year-old pretty girl.
Yeah, I can appreciate mature beauty. But,
yeah, they're mature. I mean, they got the wrinkles going, but they just look good. I think they all look really good actually.
Mm-hmm.
And
yeah.
I like the actresses, and it's not that there's nothing cool, and that I've identified with some of the storylines, but there's also this kind of overarching theme that you see where. You watch something and you kind of leave and you go, well, how do I feel? How does that, what feeling am I left with this movie?
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of times after I watch the stories or, I mean, sorry, the shows or the movie, I just kind of leave going, I don't really feel that amazed by it.
Right.
I don't feel that inspired and I don't feel that lifted up and I don't feel like, oh, I got to see it again.
Mm-hmm.
No, but that's just my opinion. A lot of people are like diehard into it.
Yeah.
A lot of people.
Women.
Yes.
Yeah.
And some men too. But
yeah.
There's a lot of people that are just like, I love Sex and the City.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know.
Yeah.
There's just
I don't know. Sarah Jessica Parker, there's something about her face that doesn't, I don't know, that keeps her from being really beautiful. Is it her nose? I don't know.
Well, I mean, that's kind of great, though.
You know, I don't consider her beautiful, you know? I mean,
well,
she's
but
got
I
a good
think
body
it's kind of great, though, because it's like, don't you get tired of always seeing, like, perfect, pretty people? It's like, I'd rather see somebody that...
I personally don't, no.
No. I think it's great to have people that are different in Hollywood playing different characters. And, I mean, Toni Collette Do you know who she is? She's an amazing actress, and she's not perfect, but man, she can transform into these awesome characters, and it's just refreshing and real. There's a real connectedness you have with a lot of the characters she plays, because she's not this pretty little actress that's so frail and so boom, you can't touch her, you can't associate to her.
Right.
And I think Sarah Jessica Parker, I mean, I think she's very pretty and sensual, but at the same time, yeah, she's some masculine features, and she's not perfect, you know. Mm. But there's just something very accessible that comes along with that.
Yeah.
Sometimes you have to sacrifice the vanity and the glamour to actually have real moments and adaptability.
Yeah.
So I appreciate that. But if
when you mention this, I don't think it's about their age, you know, because I know many women that are about their age. Like, look at Sharon Stone, look at Sandra Bullock, you know, look at Catherine Zeta-Jones, look at Demi Moore. I mean, these are like gorgeous women, and they're in their mid, you know.
Yeah. Well, I don't think the show's specifically centered around just being beautiful, though.
That's what I'm saying.
And
that's
I don't really think it's necessarily for just a male, clearly a male-centered audience.
Right.
It's for women. It's not just for women, but it's the lives of women.
Right.
And there needs to be an accessible adaptability that women can relate to.
Right. Exactly.
You know?
And having, you know, more or less ordinary-looking women in the movie, you know. And I don't know, that's just my opinion. Some people might think they're gorgeous, you know?
Yeah.
Like you do.
Well, I don't think they're gorgeous. I think they're good-looking women that, you know, that have it going on. I went to a last-minute barbecue after the show yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a friend's birthday. And it was like my friends that are all have the couples married with the kids, and then one's pregnant, and then this, and this, and blah, 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 blah. And I walked in and... I was like, oh, I forgot my baby. Sorry. You go get one. I'll come back so I fit in.
Everybody had kids there?
Oh, yes. And don't get me wrong. I love children. And when I'm sitting there watching the dynamic, especially living in Hollywood, it's good to go be around families because it reminds you of stuff that kind of matters. Not necessarily home. I don't want to be reminded of home.
No, not you.
But and you go there and you see how people change when they're around children. Mm-hmm. Like, children are good because it softens people. It requires people to have patience. It requires people to have a tenderness. And I think that children teach us a lot, and they're so wondrous, and they're so imaginative that it reminds us, I think, of who we really are. Like, we're really more like, we're supposed to be more like children, I think, in the sense of creatively speaking. But with that said, you go there, you've got your friends, you know they love you, but at the same time, there's like a weird kind of, this is our life now.
Mm-hmm.
And when I talk about what's going on in my life, I almost feel like there's a sense of, okay, back to the kids, you know?
Yeah.
I feel like it's like, okay, no, that's good for you.
Yeah, your life changes forever when you have kids.
I guess
that
is true. And I respect it. I'm not trying to make them single and go to the party. I'm not asking them to, like, hey, leave your kid with a babysitter and go clubbing. Can you be the designated driver? Like, I'm not doing that stuff.
Yeah, no, you have to fit in.
But I also realize that it's always about reaching them where they are, and they don't really reach out where you are. And I find that kind of irritating. And I also find it...
because they're preoccupied.
Yeah, but there's a point where you got to go, okay, you know...
Well,
there
you can do that
a,
if you go out without the kids.
Well, yeah, absolutely, but I just noticed that there's a little bit of a... it's just kind of a weird... I think sometimes families can... They become so much about their family that there's a really weird, like, we're in a bubble kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
And this is the only world that matters. Because there's... And part of that's good because you need to take care of your family and responsibilities. But part of it's kind of a deranged, self-centered mentality because you don't know what's going on in the outside world. You're not connected to people. You're just kind of like, oh, our family. And if you have friends, you want your friends to always be about your family. And it's really freaking annoying.
But why does it bother you, though?
It bothers me because it's constantly having to go and meet people where they are, which I believe in doing that, where if you go into their world, you talk to them about their life, but then it's not reciprocal.
Mm.
And that's what irritates me. It's not that I want them to be like me. I don't expect them to, you know, but don't expect me to be like you either.
Right.
There needs
to
be...
You want them to show some interest in you.
Yeah, and it's kind of like when they ask the questions and stuff, it's almost like, oh, entertain us for 2 seconds, remind us what singlehood is like. But okay, back to our life. It's irritating, man.
Yeah.
And it's part of life, you know, no judgment. I mean, they're growing, they're learning, so am I. But it's just a weird kind of shift.
Yeah.
You show up and it's like, oh, I don't want to offend you with my normal or my single life and talk about it.
But you know, you have to understand, if you look at it from their perspective, you can't not be totally focused on the kids, you know?
I think you can, though. I think it's a cop-out. I think for you to say...
If you have kids,
you're saying every conversation needs to be about your kid?
No. What I'm saying is that's where their head is, though. You know, so it's like if you have to follow your kid around, you know, you have a year-old or a two-year-old or something, you constantly have to watch them. Constantly.
Yeah.
You know, otherwise they get into trouble.
Well, and I don't disagree with that. And there is a lot of people...
And it consumes their lives, you know. You have to understand. And I think until you have kids, you won't understand. That's why they hang out with other mothers and stuff. You know?
I'm not disagreeing with you. I'm just saying it's still a level of self-centeredness when you have now made a lifestyle change. And now, guess what? You have to sever anything that's not that way. And you have to now drown yourself in everything that is that way. I think if you want to have relationships with people, I don't expect to be on the top priority list. I'm not deranged. I mean, you have children, your life changes. I don't expect to get your undivided attention. You know what I mean?
Right.
But I do expect that if some level you have friendships that you invest and you know, and I'm not speaking ill of my friends because they actually do, but I've just noticed a trend with people. It's more of a topic, not so much them, but they do sometimes fall into that. It's just kind of a dismissal attitude.
Right. So you can just choose not to hang out with them, you know, because that's not really a place for you, you know. You don't have
anything in common. I don't believe that you can't still maintain friendships. I think that
you can maintain friendships.
I've been there for, right? I mean, you know, these are friendships you don't throw away because you've been through some major pivotal points in that person's life and vice versa. I mean, I was there for the child of her birth, holding her thigh, saw her vagina.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
The child of her birth?
Yeah, the birth of her child.
Yeah.
Whatever.
That sounded so
child
funny.
Of her birth. Yeah. But I'm not even really saying that this is so much them. It's more just what I notice. Mm-hmm. It's just, and I do put myself in their position. I do go, hey, well, what if I were to have a kid? How much would that just take up so much of my heart, my mind? Mm-hmm. I mean, it's not like I expect for it to be an easy thing, mm-hmm. you know. I just think that after a while, you kind of, like, I've just noticed when I get invited to do some of these things, as much as I love them, I'm kind of like going to start saying no,
mm-hmm.
because I invite them to so many things, they don't come.
Right.
And it's funny, we invited them recently to something, and I said, I don't even know why you invited them, they're not going to come, and they didn't. And I know it's not easy, you know. I'm not asking them to show up to everything. So I think it'll just stay, you know, really, really relaxed, mm-hmm. you know, a real relaxed kind of, hey,
yeah.
because I don't know, baby world kind of, when it becomes all about the baby all the time, it irritates the shit out of me.
No, I don't blame you.
Ugh.
That's why I'm saying you just don't hang out with them.
I mean, that's not a good place for you. I don't hang out with them all the time.
No, I know you want to, but the thing is, they're different people now from the ones you used to know.
I don't throw away relationships, Sam, and mm-hmm. at the end of the day, certain people you work through issues because it's worth it, because those are great friendships. Second of all, you know, it's like I have to be adaptable, right, as a mm-hmm. friend, and they have to be adaptable. There's a two-way street if you want to maintain a friendship.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, so that's why I would – and I feel it's sweet that they still, you know, they invite me to stuff and mm-hmm. they keep me in the loop. And so I appreciate the effort that they make in my life.
Mm-hmm.
I just think it's still a little bit one-sided. And I also think that, you know, as far as where I stand with stuff, I mean, I'm just going to probably do one-on-one things with my friends when mm-hmm. they can make themselves available.
Right.
You know, yeah. Because, you know, it's not my job to change anybody. It's just, I'm addressing the issue mm-hmm. and how I think it's annoying.
Yeah.
Like, I was even running the other day, and I was running hard up this hill right by my house, and I was like, and then these two ladies pull in front of me with a stroller and their mom workout clothes. And I was like, get the fuck out of the way. That's what I was thinking. I'm fucking working out here. I was so irritated. I'm sorry, guys, for cussing. But I was so irritated. I'm like, they're like, mommy, Gerber baby food talk. And I love kids, okay? I'm not like a man, woman, don't love family hater. I don't. But I'm just like, it's so narcissistic, especially in this society. I'm like, get out of the way. Ugh. It irritated me.
Yeah.
I was running and they got right in my way with their baby.
So, I mean, you're feeling that they're like treating you as though they're holier than thou.
Not intentionally.
No?
It's like you
not
said.
Intentionally.
No, not intentionally. And it's not.
But I think
it's
the feeling you get.
It's more of a, this is our life now.
Right. It's their world.
And this is how we are. And now it's all about us in this way. And guess what? Even if you take the kid equation out of it, that mentality is what bothers me, because it doesn't have to be about kids. There's people that do that, and they move into a different career, they move into a relationship, they move into something different in their life, and now it's all about my new life. This
yeah,
way.
Well, usually I think when you have a friend and they hook up with someone,
yeah.
That usually happens.
And I believe in adaptability. I mean, you've got to change with people to be able to still maintain friendships. I mean, I don't expect to get like anyone's undivided attention when they have a family. I mean, I respect the family unit. I really do. But I also see a kind of an attitude of, you know, and honestly, when my friend, when she really makes effort, it means a lot to me, because I know it's really hard for her.
Mm-hmm.
When she goes out of her way to go have coffee with me or something, I know that that's a big sacrifice. Mm-hmm. And I really, really respect that. So, I mean, I respect the effort, you know, and I'm not deranged. It's just more of this cultural attitude of, this is my world, and you've got to come, you've got to meet me in my world all the time. You know, it's mm-hmm. just hysterical to me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You see, I mean, with me, I would just cut off. I would just
see, I don't believe in that, but I believe in working through shit. That's how you get deep friendships.
Yeah, but they don't want to work through it.
Well,
with you,
no, I mean, it's all in time, man. You love people where they are. You make your point. You let them. Catch up, or you know, you give some distance. You don't just cut people off because it piss you off.
Mm-hmm.
Psh, I wouldn't have any friends.
Ah.
Yeah, you have to be adaptable. My best, closest friends, we've all had huge fights.
Mm-hmm. No, yeah. Fights are fine, you know, but if their head is somewhere else, I don't know, I wouldn't be interested.
Yeah, what I just think I think of just working with people where they are.
Yeah. I don't know.
Yeah.
So Lindsay Lohan is going to play a porn star. Did you know that?
Oh, that's a shocker. Really?
Yeah. The deep throat star. What was her name?
What?
Linda Lovelace.
Who's that?
That's before your time, actually. But yeah, one of the most famous porn movies ever was Deep Throat in 1972. And the star was Linda Lovelace.
Is she just giving a bunch of blowjobs and the whole thing?
I guess, yeah. She's got the reason it's called Deep Throat is because she had, like a clit in her throat or something. So she'd give, like, blowjobs and get off that way.
She doesn't have a clit in her throat. That doesn't exist. You're just making a joke. I mean, you guys aren't that stupid.
I don't know.
That you
to be honest
that.
With you, I've never seen that movie.
But just tell me you don't
but
believe
that
shit.
But I know about
shit.
It, you know.
Men like to think that women just love doing the most humiliating, crazy acts of sex.
I don't know what men you're talking about. I'm not
like, yeah, women love it when you know, shit on them and this, that, and the other. That's hot. Like, no, that's conditioned, you idiots. They're doing that because they're getting off on you getting off, and they don't really like it.
Yeah. So I guess they have some movie posters of her. And on the internet and stuff.
Really?
Oh, our guests are here, huh? Okay, well, we'll take a little break.
He just breathed.
He breathed out of the glass.
So nasty.
All right, we'll take a short break, folks, and we'll be back right after this.
You are listening to the most original talk radio station anywhere. We are LA Talk Radio at latalkradio.com.
Thank you. Okay, and we've got our guests in the studio. We have Rob and we have Justin. Good morning to you guys.
Good morning, Sam. Thank you so much
for joining us, of course.
Good morning, guys.
He sounds very Barry White. You got a Barry White sound.
Girl, you know I'm here for you.
He's very white, but not very white.
You're redheaded Barry White, yeah.
Yeah.
It's red. There's some red. That's some red hair.
Yes, I am the only redhead in a 10-mile radius at least.
Really?
In L.A., yeah.
Was it rough? Was it rough growing up a bit?
Oh, yeah. You're going to hear Raggedy Andy and Strawberry Shortcake remarks. And, you know, hey, he's got to be a man about it. And you grow up, it makes you a tougher person, right?
There you go. It's like the boy named Sue, right? Johnny Cash. Or, you know, could have been the boy named Sue or the redheaded dude.
Good old Willie Nelson, yeah.
Yeah. Actually, that was Johnny Cash, but...
No, it's Redheaded Stranger. I thought was what you're going.
Oh no, I was going Johnny Cash. But anyway, back to you guys.
Yeah. So, are you guys both from California? Did you move here?
Rob's from San Diego. I'm from Anaheim.
Oh, I see. So you're California guys,
yeah.
Right?
Oh,
well,
yeah.
That's cool.
I moved it's all over, but I just moved back to California.
So. Did you really? Where did you move before you moved back?
I lived in Portland for a year, Seattle for 2 years, and then I lived in the San Francisco Bay Area for a year, and then I lived in the Bahamas for 6 months.
Really?
What the F? The Bahamas? What was going on there?
Work. I just got transferred for work.
Transferred doing what? Making margaritas?
Yeah,
margaritas on the beach!
No, I was doing a development project in Nassau.
Oh, that sounds so professional. Really?
Yeah, it was pretty cool.
Did you have margaritas, though, doing your professional gig? No. Okay. Just thought I'd ask.
Just rum.
Yeah. Just rum, or like a, you know, the tiki popping out of your... Whatever. Anyway, back to you guys. So,
okay, Justin. So you moved around quite a bit, right?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah. So, is that all because of work, or your family and?
Work, and then you know, ex-girlfriend, stuff like that.
But I see. Okay.
I want to hear about that. How did it go? Just it didn't work out, but you moved for her.
I dodged a giant bullet, and now I'm back.
Yeah. Really?
So yeah.
So wait, she's like, I love you. I move over here because I'm gonna be a makeup artist or whatever it is. And you move for her?
I want to be a physician.
Oh, that?
And then, yeah, I'll help you pay for it. And
oh, no.
Now it's like, hey, you know what would be a better idea? How about I move back home, Southern California, where I like it and enjoy it, and start a conservative talk show with my buddy Rob.
There you go.
Oh, man. But you were like, funding her schooling?
Oh, not a lot. No.
Oh, okay.
Not that bad.
Okay, so didn't... Okay, well, I don't feel that bad for you,
yeah.
Then. Okay, it wasn't like my life savings.
A little bit bad. No, no.
No, but I think there's something said for a man that'll go after a woman and follow her. So kudos to you for at least, you know,
doing it
for 10 minutes. And then you're like, Pace, this is too rainy. You're not really worth it. You're not that hot. I'm back.
Yeah, I don't know if that works. You know, sometimes it does when you follow someone to a new place, you know. But sometimes it's just if you do it just for the person and not because you want to be there, you know, you're going to resent that person and the place, you know.
Really? Don't you think there's a little bit of truth in like... You know, I love you. I'm gonna go.
There's truth in both of it.
Yeah.
Well, there's truth. I don't know if it works out. You know, but
yeah. That's
so,
true.
So you guys started the show with us a few weeks ago called Long Live America, and so tell us a little bit about the show. Go ahead.
Yeah, well, basically, it's not as if L.A. was our only motivation, but what it is I grew up in San Diego in a rural part in Northeast County, which is Ramona, California. I'm very proud of my hometown, cowboy country. And having, Justin and I were buddies from college. We went to college together.
Oh, really?
Yes, in Orange County.
Uh-huh.
And anyways, and upon you, we went our separate paths. Justin went into the private sector. I've been working in the public sector. I work in alternative education with handicapped, emotionally disturbed, and incarcerated juveniles.
Wow, man.
So, yeah, I've had an interesting picture as to L.A., you know, from the inside out. You see very much what's flawed with the educational system, the social programs.
Right.
So it's been more of an inductive experience rather than a deductive one.
Wow. How did you get attracted to that line of work?
You know, originally when I came up here, I thought I'd be an actor like every other idiot up here. And, you know, when that kind of didn't pan out. And you have to get a real job, you know.
Yeah.
You got to sack up and go do that. So, anyways, I've been working in that. And, you know, it's heartbreaking some of the situations you come across.
Yeah,
and again,
I would imagine.
I've seen so very much how the system's been abused. And I cannot tolerate it any longer. So we actually took, I don't say animosity, but that is, you know, motivational
right.
and inspiration. We started our show. That's
right.
Part of it. So, yes.
Wow. And Justin, So what do you guys cover on the show? What are some of the topics?
Well, pretty much everything to do with the news and then topics we find viable to all of our generation. But the reason we wanted to start a show was you get these guys like Glenn Beck, Sean Hannity, Rush Limbaugh and everything, and whether their points are pertinent or not, the thing that bothered us is I'm 29. They're really boring after a while. Uh-huh. I like them, no disrespect, but it really turns off to anyone born from the Carter administration on. And I wanted a show that would say, hey, listen, you don't have to be a Republican, you don't have to be conservative, but you have to listen, you have to be aware. We want you to be a conservative, we want you to follow news in a certain political aspect, but just don't be bored. So we try to say pertinent points, we try to say whatnot, but throw humor into it. I'm more humorous than Rob is. He's a little more opinionated than I am.
Right.
But it's a good kind of gel, because if you get two guys yelling at you, or one guy joke, when one guy yelling, holding an opinion, it flows, and it flows pretty well. And the thing is, we met in college for a while, and he'd road trip down to San Diego, or I'd be up in Seattle. We'd be talking on the phone, hang up the phone, and look, it's been an hour and 45 minutes.
Wow.
And we never skipped a beat.
So there's a true connection there.
It's called a bromance.
Now we're saying that as heterosexually as possible. Let me assure you that.
I've never seen you look so gorgeous as you did tonight.
Ooh, Robert, what do you think about the Arizona immigration law?
West Hollywood Radio.
So what are some of the topics that are relevant today?
We've been talking a lot about Obamacare. We've been talking about immigration, oil spill in the Gulf, offshore drilling.
Right. Now, so what do you think the government should do with that spill right now? I mean, is there anything they can do?
Well, apparently, as of this morning, the top fill actually worked, and it's not spilling.
Really?
And that was overshadowed because Gary Coleman just went in for a brain hemorrhage.
Oh, I see.
Really?
Yeah, move over, Brett Michaels. Gary's taking over. So
I love Brett Michaels, though. Did you guys watch Celebrity Apprentice?
He might be the new Simon Cowell, according to the news today.
Oh, really?
Okay. Well,
and I only know that because I have a Hotmail account. When I log off, it goes to MSN.com, so that's why I'm aware of that. It's not like I follow
That's okay. Backpedal. That's cool. I like Brett Michaels. So go back to the spill. So what's going on? Update us.
Well, basically, the Obama administration dropped the ball, in at least two major capacities. One, we all know that Obama was the largest recipient of BP lobbying funds in the past 20 years, was the 70-some-odd grand. Number two, there were no fire booms. And we all acknowledge, of course, that Bush, you know, the Katrina incident, that was a huge blunder. Yes, we were honest. And, hey, we're conservatives. We're honest guys above all else. But second, this is Obama's Katrina, very much so. Make no mistake about it. Yes, BP, of course, they're largely accountable. Mm-hmm. But I'm sorry, the way this is handled by the government has been just an atrocity. It's just very pathetic.
Really?
And they're suggesting, or we're seeing a connection between the fact that he received the most funds from a company, BP, ever, right? And then on top of that, is that why he's like been, you know, really hesitant about getting involved because of those ties, or
that's an opinion, absolutely.
Opinion, okay.
Yeah, maybe not the largest funds ever, but from BP in the past 20 years. He was paid for, you know, regulatory oversight, which is what they received. Hey, let this go. Don't look into it too much. And, you know, they skipped a few very pertinent procedures there that you're supposed to obviously address before you do these things.
Right.
And then suddenly that came out, you know, afterwards. And so it's been a horrible blunder.
And we've had Noelle Nakpour on here who's a conservative strategist. Mm-hmm. And she said that some of the hesitancy with getting involved and being proactive is that they are afraid that they don't have a better plan. And that if they do then take over, that they're going to just like screw it up even more or not be able to really assess it and, you know, make it better, so then that's going to be on their hands. But kind of being inactive, they've made a choice as well.
Yeah,
right?
Well, absolutely. The thing is, it took them over a month to even start the process of plugging it. And then all you hear is about the impact of the environment. You don't even hear about the 11 people that died anymore. And Rob's got a really good friend from high school, his friend of mine too. He works down in the Gulf, and he was calling us saying, no, I went to the relief efforts to save these guys, and now it's absolutely horrible down here. And it was those kind of things. And now you hear him saying, we want to pump mud down, well, they did it, congratulations, but they want to pump it down 5,000 feet, so pump mud down a tremie pipe down a mile into a hole, which you hope it doesn't blow up anyway, until they get the relief wall going. I mean, it's holding today, and I hope it holds forever.
Yeah.
But unless they get that relief wall going, it's going to pop.
Yeah. And those, what is it called, fire booms?
Yes, fire booms.
And I read that was something that should have been in place, or they didn't have enough of them. It was something very simple that should have been in place,
they
right?
They have to have a relief well, always. If they're going to have one, they have to have a relief well.
But the fire, isn't
the
it
fire
like
fire booms,
off?
Yeah, what they do is, I'm not exactly sure, but they basically wind up surrounding the fire and you know, burning it while it's out at sea before it reaches shore. That would be the primary objective. And that plan was constituted, I believe, in 1994. You know, so it's just been forgotten about, you know. Left by the wayside. And so when basically all these years go by and you have nothing there, you're sitting there going, well, what happened? Everyone wants to, you know, point the finger and shift the blame, but ultimately, of course, it's on him.
So now what would you have the administration do at this point? You're saying there's blunders, they're not doing enough. What would you have them do? I mean, what can they do?
Well, this spending, obviously, with the packages, you know, with the stimulus and all, it was ridiculous. Those money is not even what 11% was spent 6 months later. And, you know, this whole doom and gloom, the world's falling, we need to do it now. Anytime a car salesman does that to you, that's a hoax. And when the government does it to you, it's even a bigger hoax. Mm-hmm. And it turned out to be a hoax. You went to dog parks and all kinds of social things, things that are not pertinent to most everybody's life. You notice the liquidity in the market never freed up. Basically, all that money just went to arm the 2010 congressional war chest, which is what's happened. They're preparing everything for the November elections is what they're doing.
Yeah.
Right,
yeah.
Right. But how does that affect the spill? That's what I'm not sure.
Oh, well, correlated to the if you're going back to the spill, I thought I was addressing the monies there. But
no, I meant the spill, yeah.
So with the spill, as of right now, it's gotten so out of control. This is the worst environmental disaster we've had in American history. Actually, I don't believe it's the largest spill. There was one in Mexico that was, I think, spilled for 9 months.
Really?
And so, you know, but they fortunately, the land, you know, it has improved and the turtle nesting and those things do return. So I feel terrible for the people in Louisiana.
Right.
But one of the bad things is Obama didn't show up there until an hour ago. It was the first time he's been there. And the whole time this has been happening, Nashville's been underwater, and he hasn't mentioned Nashville once. I've never heard him mention Nashville on the news.
Yeah, and Nashville was really overlooked.
Yeah, and they're crying. I mean, the Grand Ole Opry was ruined, soaked, gone, and he's never even mentioned it. And those people need as much, well, not as much aid as the Gulf, but needed help over there, too.
Yeah.
And that was one of the reasons, well, not these disasters and stuff, that we started this show is... A lot of people we met voted for Obama because they didn't like George Bush.
Mm, yeah, and that was me.
We were saying...
That was me.
We don't like George Bush, but we don't want to vote for Obama. That has nothing to do with it.
But there was no choice.
Yeah, exactly. And then we were coming into this point where we both have a dream in life. And that dream is in America to one day vote for the candidate you like.
Yeah, there you go. That would be good.
Yeah, that's a good point.
That would be nice, yeah.
Because I didn't want to vote for McCain. He's the wussiest Republican.
He's no conservative by any means.
His wife has bigger balls. That guy.
They booed him at his speech.
Oh yeah.
It took me a while to kind of catch up to why there was such an. The way it was kind of seen on the media was kind of like, I don't know, the really crazy right wing people are like, boo. Yeah.
What's the thing? You go backstage, Palin was beating him up.
Make no mistake about it. You know, John McCain, Meg Whitman, these are rhinos. They're no conservative. That's become the catchword of this year. Elections.
McCain was a great soldier and everything that he did. And John McCain died.
No, we appreciate it, sir. That's
it. He's
been a backstabber on multiple bills. McCain Feingold, McCain Kennedy, McCain Lieberman. He has backstabbed the conservatives as much as he can, and now suddenly he's had this epiphany or revelation.
Right.
And, you know, it's all a joke. And same with Meg Whitman, you know.
Right,
so.
Yeah. Now, Justin, if the elections were held today, do the Republicans have anybody that could win, that stands to win at this point?
For president?
Yes.
I'm different on this in ways of religion, but for political candidates, I'd say Mitt Romney would probably be the best. He's so clean-cut. He's so in there. He's very well-spoken. So far, there's no mistresses popping out of a corner. There's no other things
happening.
Okay,
go back.
Like
you said religious versus whatever. What do you mean?
It's just my personal opinion that middle America might not accept a Mormon to be the presidential candidate.
Oh, I got it. Okay.
So in L.A., that's Seattle, true, huh? San Francisco, New York, Chicago,
no problem,
obviously the cities, everyone's more relaxed on religion, but when someone says, you don't read the same Bible I read, you're not my president.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Especially
okay.
The Bible
that
Belt.
Movie. Well, yeah. Did you see that movie Jesus Camp?
Yeah. Well, I've seen parts of it. Yeah.
Yeah. Where they're saying I vote for George Bush because he's a Christian and
a
Christian president. Well,
that's
those
terrible.
People will be swayed to the point. It's not like Jews. Jews will be like, you know. The Bible Belt is very strong in who they vote for, and that's the one reason I could see it being a problem with Mitt Romney.
Yeah.
Okay.
What
yeah.
do you think, Rob?
Well, it's strange that Justin's a Jew. I'm a WASP. So what we said that on the show is no big secret. But the thing is, it's strange that, you know, on the far left, oh, if you say anything anti-Semitic or you say certain types, even though whatever, you will be persecuted. And understandably so. We agree with that. You know, hey, we try to encourage religions. But if somehow it's okay to make fun of Mormons, that's the one thing we've noticed not only across the board, but particularly
really?
On the left. I mean, the whole show, look at Big Love on HBO.
Uh-huh.
That's the largest symbolic. They just want to trash Mitt Romney
really?
And Mormons. That was the dedication of that show. Like American Dad went to making fun of George Bush.
Right.
We all know this. But somehow that's okay, right? Because it's a left winger that does it. And much like in the Clinton administration, if there's a bomb with a D on it, that's okay. You know, you can blow up Kosovo. And that's fine and Danny, but as soon as, you know, George Bush drops a bomb, well, suddenly, since it has the R on it, the Republican, you know, oh, no. Where's all the anti-war protesters now? You know, what a hypocrisy it's all turned out to be, you know?
So. Yeah.
Speaking of the war, did you guys see the news today about the deaths in Afghanistan?
Yeah, it just happened, right? Was it like how many people were
south,
it?
The 1,000th death in Afghanistan. And I believe from 2001 to 2008, there were 560 deaths. And from 2009 to present, there's been 440.
Really?
Isn't that insane?
Wow.
I didn't know it was that bad.
Yeah.
I just saw that on
these
on
are
Fox
American
News
troops, right?
Yeah, American troops.
Right.
Yeah.
here's my thing, and this is more because I like to cause trouble. Okay, so I listen to y'all's show for like 10 minutes, okay? That's all you're getting. That's all you're getting. Y'all only get 10 minutes. Mom, I'm going to listen
She's
10 minutes.
She's a busy person.
I thought you were from Los Angeles.
Please. I'm from Texas, man. Yeehaw.
Texas.
Yeehaw, yeah. But anyway, so I was listening to y'all's show, and you guys are very informed, very articulate, yada, 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 whatever. But here's my beef. Here's my beef, okay?
It's what's for dinner.
It's what. Actually, anyway, is you know, I feel like a lot of these conservative shows, I guess you can say it for many political shows, is they become a lot about preaching to the choir. It's yelling and yapping to other people that already are on board and maybe perpetuating more within your own circle. And I feel like when sensationalism comes into play, regardless if your talking points and your arguments are correct or whatever, I feel like when we're talking about that moderate category of people that are really looking for, where should I go? What is truth? What is really going on? And we know that a lot of the voter bloc that kind of swayed Obama was a lot of people that were moderate. They were just kind of, and they kind of went in that direction. And I feel like we're dealing with people that are really looking for information and the truth. And I feel like sensationalism kind of is anti-productive when you're really trying to reach people that are really looking. It's so easy for them to discount you as, oh, crazy right wing, you know, when you start going liberal scum and you start kind of attacking and using these words, even though I don't totally disagree with where you're coming from, I think it's easy for them to kind of marginalize you or, you know, put that stigma and then turn their ears off to what you actually have to say.
Well, I know what you're talking about. We don't want to hump a leg that's already been humped, but what we're saying
is... It sounds like you guys are.
Well, no, absolutely not. I don't want to, you know, grab someone's thumb while they're trying to hitchhike and yank them into the car. I'm just trying to say, hey, here's a different avenue you can take. And just because you're a college student and you're 25 or in your 30s doesn't mean you have to listen to 67-year-old Michael Savage, you know, shoving issues down your throat, even though if you agree with him or not. Or, yeah, Sean Hannity looks very squinty. He says stuff and he talks about his book all day long.
Mm-hmm.
But listen to his opinions. Don't listen to MTV. Don't listen to KROQ in the morning as your only sources of news and entertainment. Turn it to Fox News or look at the Drudge Report or look at Open Opinions. And it's not – don't be afraid to be conservative and be young. Just because
– And I like that, but I guess what I'm saying is – and you see it across the board with a lot of different shows. And I'm not saying it's only conservative shows. I mean, liberal shows do it too. I'm just talking about when it becomes like the catchphrase, name-calling and stuff like that. And I'm not talking about being Hallmark. I'm not talking about don't make people mad. I'm just saying for people that are really in the middle, that are looking for the avenue, I feel like it's really easy for people to disregard what you're saying because they're turned off by you know, the remarks, and then it just sounds like, I'm a crazy right-wing conservative.
Well, see, what you're repeating right there is strictly liberal propaganda. You know, so how come there's no left-wing radicals? Where's the left-wing radicals? If Obama's not one of Pelosi and Reid and Murtha, who's
dead now.
What
are you talking about? What are you talking about?
Well, I'm saying in the media, can you name some left-wing radicals? Because there's always right-wing radicals. Who's the left-wing one? Name one.
Jane Fung.
Nancy Pelosi.
Well, I agree, but I'm saying in the media, see, that's all their propaganda machine. Remember, Obama, they have all kinds of contracts with NBC, MSNBC,
Clinton,
his administration, so the media is a mouthpiece for him. And you have lone Fox News, who, guys, remember, if you're a conservative, you're not going to have some news shows up there, and there's Fox. And obviously, you're an investment at that point. So Beck and Hannity, they can only say certain things, and they cannot say certain things, especially if they're going to offend investors. Fox is, what, almost 20% owned by Dubai? See what I mean? So, you know, obviously, there's going to be
an agenda. No, I see what I'm talking about. I'm not talking about what you're saying. I agree with what you're saying. It's the sensationalist that can turn off people that are looking. I get what you're saying. You guys are being villainized. It's the only opposing viewpoint is Fox News out there that's on a big media scale, right? Is what you're saying.
Yeah, basically MSNBC, NBC,
and so it's
ABC, CBS,
and you feel
and
like
CNN.
You need to retaliate because you guys are constantly villainized. I totally get it. I'm just talking about the people that are in the middle that are really looking. I feel like so many people, it's about preaching to the choir, and it's not really reaching people that are in the middle.
Well, the one thing we do on our show, we didn't do the first couple shows, and we got a lot of viewer emails and some calls and stuff not to us saying, you guys are sorting a lot of facts. You're making a lot of valid opinions. Turn us on to it. Where are you getting your information? So we started listing websites. We were getting to books. We've read articles. We've been to shows. We've watched. Because we said, if you don't know, listen to us. Don't follow us. Open up your mind.
Mm-hmm.
Research yourself. Decide for yourself. Because if you're intelligent enough, you'll make your own decision.
Yeah, let's be very clear about something. Politics have never been as polarized as they are now.
Yeah.
Obama, who was brought in there to unite, is only divided. Mm-hmm. And that's the mantra of the left, divide and conquer. You know, they're implementing all these horrible social programs that most people disagree with. Most people want the border closed and English only. And they're sitting there telling you, how many times can you pull the race card? Obviously, you don't have a factual argument if that's all you can do is go, you're racist at everything. Because I disagree with Barack Obama on any one issue that makes me a racist.
Yeah,
that's the most lame-ass argument
I ever
heard.
It's very unfair, too. It's
a
real...
white
it's
is he
very
black.
Unfair.
That's one of the problems I think we've had between the races for a long time, and that is just invoking that. You know, it's racist, it's racist, it's racist.
Well,
but there's, yeah, but I think that's dodging responsibility when people use that. I wanted to ask you, how come most talk radio is conservative?
Oh, thank you, because that's the only medium we're permitted in. What does that mean? It means that on television, what's a conservative show there? You know, I mean, we name the one.
Why?
News.
I mean, you've got Fox News.
That's it.
It's the only
and
one.
And you have five other
Rupert
ones,
Murdoch,
what, major ones.
That crazy koala.
Yeah, I don't honestly believe, I don't speak for Justin, that foreigners, Rupert Murdoch, you know, being Australian, should be allowed to own a major American network such as that. It's not in America's best interest. He's an investment. It's not. We are strong. We stand very strongly for patriotism, capitalism, you know, and conservatism. And so, I mean, guys, let's be very clear about this. As conservatives, I didn't come out here to be everybody's best buddy and to make friends. I am seeking like minds. And people say sensationalize, it's a two-way ticket. So everybody goes, these right-wing radicals and all these, you know, people on the right, we don't come out and preach, but we are beyond all else patriots on our show. That's what you'll pick up about us.
I'm talking about a form of communication. I'm not talking about your points and your values. I agree with it. I'm talking about a more effective way to reach people that are looking for the truth. And I'm not saying that I disagree with what you're saying. I really don't. It's just sometimes you've been so marginalized. There's so much stigmatism. There's so much opposition. It's in our natural reaction to go liberal, crazy scum, blah, 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 blah. And it makes sense. I get where it comes from. I'm just saying, how effective is it in communicating when you're trying to reach people? The people are looking for answers. You know what I mean?
When you throw facts on different scenarios and you keep getting facts on different things, it'll open up your mind to where you're going to think. Like, the one thing we'll actually both preach about is I'm a big advocate of patriotic capitalism.
Mm-hmm.
Like, when someone says, buy an American car, I own a GMC.
Mm-hmm.
I check my VIN numbers, made in Canada.
Really?
You know, it's just certain things like, well, you should invest in this American company. Oh, by the way, they outsource everything to India.
Right.
It's one of the, like, in, Detroit. Oh, they closed down that factory for Chevrolet because now they're building it in Mexico. Oh, but it's an American company. Don't increase your stock price as an American company by shipping things overseas. If you want to pride yourself on being a patriot, help the American people. And we were talking about on our show, Truman did the, Operation Wetback?
Yes.
Where he sent 2 million illegals out of the country to give more jobs to Americans after, I believe, was it World War II?
That's literally what it was called, just to not make that up.
Yeah, he said it, I started laughing, and he goes, no, I'm serious. So I had Wikipedia and everything. And they got rid of 2 million people. They deported them. They said, no, Americans need jobs.
Mm-hmm.
And that's when everyone going, then immigrate Arizona, it's so racist. It's actually less stringent than the federal law they're never enforcing. That's the thing. Arizona said, hey, listen, we're going bankrupt. We're becoming the next California.
Yeah.
We're not going to do this. And that's why and everybody, you agree with Arizona? You're racist. Well, no, I'm not. Look at the Mexican immigration laws.
Yeah, actually,
laws.
I agree
Those
with
are racist.
We want Mexico's immigration laws. They're perfect. That's what a sound society would do, looking into its own best interest.
Go ahead and state what they're...
I didn't bring all my talking points up, but Mexico, if it's to the economic burden or even to the alter their demographic, you know, their racial demographic, they will not. They don't have to permit you at any time. They will take a cut of your business if you're to go down there as a foreigner.
Right.
Anytime. They can basically kick you out for any reason at any time if you're not a conducive member of their society.
And if you marry a citizen for the balance or the... Just to get citizenship, you're either put in jail for 30 years or you're kicked out.
Who's saying, hey, can we get married? I really want to be a Mexican citizen.
That's racist.
Like, no, but I'm... Come on.
Yeah, like who the hell wants
how
to
many
be...
Perks?
I love carne asada.
Dude, I love it too. But I mean, you go down there for your freaking, 10-day vacation and you Cabo it up. You get your little tan and you eat some guacamole and you get out of there. You guacamole. And you're out. You're not like, oh, man. I mean, unless you're going
to,
like...
Well, I'm from SoCal. We used to go down to Tijuana for a day.
Mm-hmm.
And then you see a bunch of donkeys painted like zebras. And these guys are yelling at you on Revolucion. And like, mom, let's get the heck out of here.
Yeah,
and I'm not saying that Mexico's not a great place. I mean, I have friends that live in many different places. And they're like, oh, it's so beautiful. And
some spots are gorgeous.
And not just the resort places, but I mean, like, you know...
I'll say it's not a great place. And I'll also say that that's why there's a huge, massive influx of people coming
here. There you
here.
Go.
I'm not trying to offend the people, but they're saying the country, the government sucks. It is one of the highest disparity rates between the rich and the poor in the world, including Africa.
Yeah. The richest man in the world is Mexican.
1% controls the 99% of wealth.
Yeah, everyone's coming over here asking for work, and Mexico's number two biggest import of money is illegal Mexicans working in America sending money back to Mexico.
Yeah, that's it. You know, I mean, I have absolutely no desire to go to Mexico. Absolutely none. You know, for
what
any
about
reason.
A free timeshare?
I second that.
For a free what?
A free timeshare.
I would. I'd go.
I'd still pass on that.
I'd
well, there's
go.
Certain
it's a
spots in Mexico, like Playa del Carmen.
It's like you said, it's
hey, go down and get raped and enjoy the scenery, you know?
Yeah,
I love a good
go.
Raping.
Drink the water.
a little off. Speaking of that, Kara, I heard you talking about these effeminate men being attracted to you on the way up.
Oh, did y'all hear it? What do you guys think? Weigh in. What?
Effeminate men are attracted to anyone from Texas because they'll get their ass kicked. That's why.
No. Here's what I was saying.
You'd bitch slap him, wouldn't you? I shouldn't say that as a conservative.
No, I was saying how, like, if you talk on the phone and he sounds gay, is that, like, a bad thing?
Of course.
What do you think I should do?
Your common sense is telling you.
It's a little different. Like, if I'm on the phone with customer service and the lady helping me is 80 years old, I'll go, oh, hi, yes, I had a problem with my card. But if I'm going, hey, you want to go out Friday night? Or, hey, want me to pick you up?
I'm still going. No, I'm going because we're going to go karaoke and we're going to dance. I don't care.
Well, if he sits on your lap, get the hell out of there.
The point being is it sounds like your balls never dropped. You probably shouldn't be going out with him.
No, I think it's going to be fun. I like going out anyway. So it's
yeah,
like,
she likes adventures.
I like adventures.
Okay, if you order a Jack and Coke and he gets a Cosmo, that's all I'm saying.
Zima, please.
No, he didn't sound... Did y'all hear the other story I told how I went out with this guy? I did. I'll make it quick for people who are here. One of this dude, totally good-looking dude. We would talk on the phone. He sounded like super gay. And I was like, don't be judgmental. Just do it. So I went out and he was like, hey, so what's up? He was doing this shit the whole time. Yeah, and I was like, so do you like dancing? He goes, what do you think? He's like, check out my music MySpace page. Do you think of my music? It was really funny.
Do you ever get guys who find out you have a radio show that they
I don't tell them anymore. I've learned my lesson.
But don't they hear your voice and like, oh my God, that's the most irreverent talk radio show in the morning on LA Talk Radio. They recognize your voice and then they want, oh, if I'm really nice to her, I can go in there and play my acoustic guitar. G chord,
no.
Going down to the E chord.
I don't tell him. I don't tell him because I reveal a lot of myself. I'm an entertainer, so it's amped up, but not really. But I reveal a lot of myself and it's a really unnatural way for somebody to get to know somebody because then you hear intimate things. It's just weird.
Now, have you met one guy in Los Angeles who would take you on a date, who would look you dead in the eye and said, I didn't vote for Obama, I won't have sex with you on the first date, and I respect you for the woman you are? Have you met that man in L.A.?
No. No, am I supposed to?
I haven't met that woman. So.
I don't expect to... I've gone out with conservative dudes. Is that what you're asking? Kind of like conservative
guys? We're kind of a needle in a haystack around here, but we actually believe in those things what Justin just said. You know.
No, so. Obviously, I live in Irvine.
But I mean,
right
being, I mean, like, I'm a Christian,
Angeles.
So I date Christian dudes. Well, that's the idea. That's what I'm trying to do. Whatever. So, but it's, like needle in a haystack. That's even harder. But a Christian stamp doesn't make him the right fit. A conservative stamp doesn't make him the right fit.
No, most definitely. You can go around touting, you know, whatever religion you are
exactly.
All day. The bottom line is, how do your actions reflect that? What lifestyle do you lead?
Well, I mean, let's get off lifestyle for a second, because I could fall guilty for that. But it's really
I snort coke off my crucifix.
Yeah. I love Jesus, just not between my heroin bender. Yeah.
No, I mean, I think when you... You know, changing your lifestyle to fit your beliefs is not easy, and it's not.
Oh, well, I'm a Christian too, and all I can say is that I do my very best. I think that's the difference between conservatism and liberalism is not only whether you're a Christian or just a conservative, is that although we fall short of grace and nobody's perfect, you constantly strive for that. Whereas a liberal, not only do you mess up, but then you justify. Well, I screw everything I see, and I do drugs, and what's wrong with it? And you're trying to rationalize something that's blatantly wrong in the mind of any rational person.
No, I don't agree with that. But I think there's all kinds of people that do that. And so my point is it doesn't matter if he has a stamp of this or that. It's such a delicate balance, right?
Well, we're saying is practice what you preach. And if you're a conservative, you should be leading the lifestyle, at least striving towards that.
Well,
more
than
that.
Listen, it was three drinks, guys, and it was a little much. And I thought we were here to party at Sam's party, and I was the only one getting lit. I was like, hey, I think I was talking to was there a 7-year-old running around? She and I were bonding.
I was speaking in generalities. I wasn't trying to put you on the
joke,
spot.
It's a joke. But either way, I mean, I think there's a miss. We were on Sheena Metal's experience yesterday, and
she does an amazing job on the
show. She's so good. And you know what? I love her because she really likes me. But no, I love her because she brought up a good point. She was like, she's just talking about, like, you know, you get this Christian values or whatever, but then at the same time, boom, 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 Jesus! And what I wanted to point out was, you know, there's a misconception that you can't be relevant, you can't have fun. And I know that line is different for everyone else, but I don't think it's this like nun thing, you know, where you're like, I mean,
oh no. Well, I most definitely agree. In fact, if you listen to our show, yeah, we make some very suggestive comments. Yeah, we don't outright swear, but let's face it, there's very strong sexual undertones, whatever. I mean, that's I completely agree with that.
Because you're a young man and in the prime of your life.
So
you
wait
know,
a second, so
not?
You're a Christian and you're Jewish. Do you guys have like Christian Jewish chats?
We thumb wrestle.
Oh, I love a good thumb war. Who wins?
Rob, if you know, it's like 20-inch arms.
So what's going on? Is the working out, what's going on here? Is this like, do you protein powder
not,
it
not
up?
Not part of the conservative
stuff?
Talk show we came in to plug today, man.
Whatever, you guys.
Rob leads a very healthy lifestyle.
They need to feel like they know you guys. Rob has major red hair, but then major big arms, guys. I'm wondering if one has to do with the other.
No, not just the arms. I mean, the whole body. I mean, you work out quite a bit.
Look at that. Even people,
yeah, he's not a stepchild.
I'm noticing everything.
When I teach, I've been called groundskeeper Willie on steroids, Ronald McDonald on steroids. I've heard my fair share of comments.
That's fun. That's okay. You know, we're just giving you a hard time. So how do you like living in Orange County?
Now that I'm back there, I like it. I like it a lot.
Really? Are you not bored?
So what? If you're from Orange County and you have a car and you know where to go, you'll never get bored.
That's such an LA response. I'm sorry.
Come on, man. I mean, come on. You're like,
are you bored with that Planned Community Association, the homeowners association?
Yeah, actually, are you? Yeah.
Are you embarrassed to live in the safest city in the nation?
No, I'm not saying.
California?
I'm
that
not
wonderfully
talking
nice
about
place.
Being white or privileged. I'm not saying being embarrassed because of that. I'm saying stimulus. When everything is so, and I'm not saying it's more. It really is a question because you know very different sides of the track or whatever. But being in such a very you know, kind
when it's
of.
2/3 Asian and you see a car accident every 15 minutes, it's never boring.
Is that what's going on? Just educate us. That's what I'm
asking. Absolutely. No, I live right next to, well, not right next to, but UCI,
okay.
Which is my alma mater, which we call UC Slanted Eye down there. And it is always a car accident.
Really?
I mean, I don't mean to. I mean, we were talking about liberalism, conservatism, Republican, Democrat, white, Asian. You can stereotype each different one to how you want.
Uh-huh.
There's black and white, but obviously it's America. This is the world's largest gray zone. But yeah. No, in Irvine, California, I can say statistically accurate that 90% of the car accidents are due to Asian college students driving their little shopping carts with big coffee can offers.
Well,
it is absolutely hilarious.
Yeah. But I mean, like,
but the nightlife down there, obviously, stuff, you know, last call at 1:30, you got to go to Newport, you got to go to Huntington, hang out with the bros, everyone drives their race trucks.
Yeah.
The beach terrain.
Yeah.
Oh, we're at elevation 1. Let me get a 5-inch body lift, 37-inch tires. But
no, I'm just curious because I had a friend that from LA. She went down there to go to school, and she's like, "Damn, she like transferred back to LA." She's like, "Can't do it because of the lack of stimulus in some ways." I guess when you're living in the city, you get a different kind of stimulus, a different creative energy. Everybody's kind of going after their dreams, so there's a kind of a hungry feeling here.
Well,
and there's
County,
crazy. There's
well,
craziness.
There's
too.
A misconceptualization about Orange County. Friends, you said the white privilege, whatever. Well, if you go north,
no, I said. Don't feel bad about being white privileged. I wasn't. No.
Orange County, it's a different type of strive, though. That's like the entrepreneur capitalship of the world.
Check this out, because north of the 55, that all turns real. That white privilege, whatever you want to call it, turns around at very Westminster, Stanton, Winter Park. I mean, places you really wouldn't want to hang out sometimes due to crime or whatever else, you know.
Right.
Yeah.
No, I love Los Angeles, places. But the people who try to hold on to that city vibe a lot, I'd rather live in New York.
Yeah.
If I was a city, I'd rather live in Chicago.
No,
I'd rather live in Miami.
LA is dead. It really is.
Whatever.
You know,
it's not dead.
It is dead.
Go
to other cities and you'll see.
No, I know. I live in the friggin' heart of Hollywood,
it's like
and it's awesome. There's so much stuff going on. Psh, you need to know.
No. Sam remembers the 80s, back when cocaine was cool. That was like when you probably wanted to be in LA. If you were like, oh, Obama... LA's awesome. That's what
I
would
No, I think that there's...
Hanging out with Bill Maher.
Get a line in with the president. Yeah. We
no,
did lines
there's
together.
Just... there's a different stimulus, and I'm not saying it's all great, but there is something about a collective energy of people that are creative that are kind of going after their dreams, going broke, going crazy. And it's good, bad. It's a very spiritually charged city, too.
That's
you're
nice.
28?
Mm-hmm.
But if I was a 28-year-old girl, I would not want to be in Los Angeles unless I wanted a date... A 35-year-old balding Persian.
Well,
man,
if I was looking for Mr. Right, that's funny. That's actually not even true.
Look like a bunch of men wearing disco balls.
No, it's not even true.
I don't know what Ed Hardy is, but he needs to.
Yeah,
get
we need to get up
balls.
On your. You need to get up on your clothing before you reference. Second of all, it's not even accurate. But second of all, if I was out to like be like, oh, I gotta get married. That's my biggest thing in life. I wouldn't have moved to LA. People move to LA to be career seekers, and they're going after dreams, and then those. Other things are kind of
well. You being a Christian woman, don't you have a conflict of interest there? I mean,
why? Oh,
I fully believe a woman should have a career and go to college and be a high individual.
I'm sorry. Wait.
Well, I'm saying you're talking.
Okay.
You sound like Miss Party Chick, and I'm saying that you don't sound like Miss Christian Woman talking. That's all.
Because
I'm saying.
you have a very.
I'm limited in my perception. Correct?
No, you have a warped perception. of what a Christian should be. I mean, I'm just not. I'm an entertainer. I'm a stand-up comedian and I'm a singer. You know what? I'm not going to be like a flying fly on the wall. I'm not going to be somebody that sits and observes life. I'm not a pacifist. I'm up in the mix. I'm the life of the party. And so the reality is that, you know, maybe that you don't see God in that way. Maybe you don't see how God, like, you know.
Well, the Bible's not a liberal book. Let's be fair. Certain things are okay. And
well,
certain
Jesus
are not
was
okay.
Jesus was very much a hippie in his day. I mean, look at the life of
Christ.
Oh,
please don't say he walked around smoking weed. No, I'm so sick.
No, I'm not talking
Hollywood.
About smoking weed. I'm
That's
talking
how they justify
about,
it to themselves, these people.
You're not hearing me, but what I'm trying to tell you is if you look at the life of Christ, and his life on earth was extremely radical in his day. He was anti-religion, if you look at his life. And he was all about the heart, and he was all about the spirit. And it wasn't about judging the external things of man. He looked at the heart, and he said, you know what? We're all depraved. We all need God. Some people get that they need God, and some people don't. And at the end of the day, it's your heart, and it's your spirit. So, I mean, you know, I do believe actions should line up with what you believe, but I think sometimes we look at people's actions, and we kind of judge the person by that as opposed to really looking at their heart. So, you know.
No, I agree with you. I read a Dan Brown book.
I'm saying it's not a very godly lifestyle to be up here doing drugs and being
bisexual. I'm not bisexual.
And I'm talking about you. I'm talking about everybody else. This LA, whatever, there's a huge conflict of interest
You're
in
just,
biblical stuff.
You know what? You know what?
Jesus went to
the dark places, man. He didn't say, he goes, you know what? It's not the healthy that need a physician. He went to the dark places. He went to the people that knew that they were jacked up. And you know what? What I could say about LA is that it's a spiritually charged place. There's a lot of people that are broken, including myself. We're all broken. And there's a lot of people that know that they're broken and they're looking for love, life, and they're looking for answers. And you can kind of get to places that are really pretty and really pleasant. And really, really nice. I mean, I came from that. It's the Bible Belt, right? And guess what? Some of the most shittiest, seediest stuff is going on underneath the surface, and it's spiritual apathy. So, I don't know. You know what? Whatever helps you sleep at night.
All I'm saying is LA should not be encouraged. It's rotted from the inside out. It's not exemplary in any way. Crime, drugs, and poverty are through the roof. Anybody advocates this, they're a psycho. That's all I got.
I'm not advocating that. I'm talking about, you know what? I look at beyond the actions, I look at the people, and I look at the heart, and I work with people every day. I mean, just the people I see every day. And you know what? You go live in your, you know, whatever makes you feel good. But
okay, well so much for Jesus. I want to ask you something. Do you think marijuana is going to be eventually legalized in the state?
Never.
No?
Never. Even if it was legalized, they'd find a way to take the tax money and put it somewhere else.
Yeah.
But the thing is,
you think if it's already accepted as medical solution that eventually it's just a matter of time because people are being tolerating of it now?
Only 14% of people in the state approve it should be passed.
Really? Only the media is as tolerating of it as it sounds. You know?
I mean, we didn't start paying income tax in this country until 1914.
With the federal tax.
I mean, schools are paid for by local property taxes. Roads are paid for by gasoline taxes. And people say, oh, if we don't have income tax, where would it go? Well, what funded the government from 1776 to 1913? Mm-hmm. So it's those certain things that even if they tax it, oh, the state would come out of debt. No, it wouldn't. They'd take the money, put it somewhere else. Some lobbyists would, you know, do something with it. It's never going to go for us. They've got to spend less. They need to take 83% of all births in Los Angeles County are due to illegal families. Mm-hmm. And the new Obamacare, is there any health care in there for illegals? No.
Yeah.
I mean, something's got to get answered that way. They either spend less or get rid of the problem.
And we also did a show recently on the effects of marijuana. We've noticed it's grown THC levels from 1% to about 10% on average.
Really?
So the strength of what it was in the hippie days versus what it is now are infinitely larger. It's inducing schizophrenic tendencies and nervous disorders and all kinds of paranoia.
Yet I don't
effects.
Get as high as I used to in the 70s. I don't know what that is.
I love it, Sarah. So that's interesting. So, you know, you're coming with your facts. I appreciate that.
No, I'm pretty liberal when it comes to drug use. I'm pretty liberal as long as it's not my friends or my immediate family and stuff I have to deal with. But if you want to go do something in your own home, go ahead and do it. But for the state to profit off of it and think it's going to solve our problems?
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
Do you think that it's
but
been...
maybe not for that reason, but I mean just for the reason that people just want it, you know?
Then go to Amsterdam
and maybe,
on vacation.
Yeah, but you know, maybe it won't be legal, but it just, you know, it'll sort of be tolerated in Amsterdam.
So I'd love to hear how marijuana fits into Obama's new health care plan, because why should I be forced to pay for some, you know, drug addict's health problems? That doesn't seem very fair to me or to the average American, but I have to cough up a lung, I need a surgery. Well, were you trying to prevent this on some level?
Well, medicalization over incarceration has been debated for about the last 20 years. There's a Judge Gray wrote a book on it about how the government would actually save money if you took all these heroin addicts and put them into a treatment facility rather than incarcerating them to cure their problems, so there'll be less, you know, less stealing, then they'll fence all your stuff and whatever. But is that that's very, very liberal thinking on a government side that America I don't think will ever sway with. Where I, as conservative, agree with this issue, but I don't know where I would vote on it until I saw the whole thing written out. Because it's, like, Judge Gray, but there's a gray zone again, that thing.
And, yeah.
I mean, I'm looking at you right now. He's like, there's positives, there's negatives to it, but it's like one of those things that my mom would be like, this is a very good idea, but I want to see how they're going to write this one out before I pencil my answer.
Yeah, yeah.
So, yeah. Especially in California. I mean, if you put that through in, like, Oklahoma, you go, no way.
For people,
throw their ass in the clink.
For people that are your users, I mean, I don't smoke weed. I've never actually experienced it. So, but what?
Oh, nothing. If you're out Hollywood partying all the time, I'm sure you've seen something, right?
No. I've never personally had okay. Weed, is what I'm saying. I don't know what it even feels like, but I'm just saying.
No, I never have either. So
okay, but from people that I know that use it and stuff, it's a very mild effect. I mean, it people, when they use it, they're not violent. They're not aggressive. They're not, listen, hear me out. Oh. They're not doing these kind of crimes that most people that get alcohol induced are doing or whatever. So they think that the marijuana, it really shouldn't be for somebody else to govern your use of it because it doesn't hurt other people, generally speaking. What would you say to that?
Well, they're hallucinating, delusions, aggressive tendencies. We've been seeing that these new strains, for instance, what do we do on the show? I think it was called the White Widow Freight Train, these ultra strong strains. Remember these hybrids that chronic, like everything you hear in your favorite rap song, yeah. are incredibly stronger than what they were in, like we said, 40 years ago. Mm-hmm. You know, so these things are actually inducing much stronger symptom-like behavior than they were back in the day.
But if you were to do like a study on crime, I mean, how much crime related acts are because of weed smokers? I mean, that's really what I'm, and I'm not even in favor of it. I'm really trying to get information because I feel like, you know.
Fair enough.
No, would I rather have weed legal than heroin? Oh, absolutely. But would I rather have non-legal? Yeah.
And underlying it all, I think, is the moral factors. That's something, you know, to be a pothead, you want your kid or your mother or somebody you know close to you. Is that in their best interest? Is that a good behavior?
I totally agree, but is it the government's place to govern what you should do?
No, that's a good point.
I'm just saying, if we're going to govern somebody's, okay, this is, because people do Prozac, they do all their different little pills that I think, and I have family members that are like, you know, they went through surgery, now they're hooked and their life is destroyed because of prescription drugs.
That's horrible.
And I think, you know, and then you see alcoholism and that's ridiculous too. And then you see weed. And I'm not saying it's good, and I don't advocate it at all, but at the same time, is it my place to govern how that person decides to tap out of reality when it doesn't hurt me?
Well, you can use that same argument for all drugs, heroin and coke, and like we're saying, weed is...
But we see a lot of heroin addicts. We see a lot of crack addicts. We see a lot of crime related to that. We see a lot of...
Well, those things are all illegal. I mean, it's implicit.
You know, I think alcohol is a much more serious problem than weed, you know, and that's what I'm saying. It's like, I think everything... when people argue against marijuana, I always say, let's compare it with alcohol. You know, why is alcohol okay and marijuana is not?
Well, the physicality is that you have to walk, you actually have to breathe it. Smoke is in the air. I don't want to pass by somebody loaded up, you know, people driving around smoking. I actually have to breathe. That's not somebody, a bottle on the side of the road.
But that works with cigarettes, too. I mean, that's not an excuse for not making it legal, you know. And besides, you know, you can have people not smoke in the street. But at the same time, as Kara was saying, you know, you don't see a lot of crime. You don't see, like, the damages the drunk driving does and things like that. So it's, you know, if you're willing to accept alcohol, I think there's no argument against marijuana. You know, that's just
Certain people tolerate things a certain way. Like, there's certain people who should never have a sip of alcohol.
Right.
Those losers that, you know, pass out and they wake up in the morning and they've killed someone, they're in jail, their car's wrecked.
Right.
Absolutely. So there's certain people that could smoke weed and live a nice, peaceful lifestyle and keep it. Maybe they should be allowed to, but it's everyone else. I mean, you give America an inch, they're going to take 57 miles.
Well, I totally hear where you guys are coming from. And as a moral decline of a society, I mean, I definitely don't think it's something to be proud of. Hey, we can smoke weed now legally. I mean, it's not something to, like, in my opinion, think, oh, okay. I think that there's probably a trail that it can lead to that it's not something to be proud of. I just look at government control and involvement in that area, and I kind of think about, you know, really, is it my decision or should government have the place to really govern the way that you decide to recreationally tap out? I mean, because honestly, I really don't see it. When I don't think that there's the stats to support crime-related issues with weed and how it really affects society other than numbing them. You know, I don't
have you
really
seen someone who smokes weed for like 20 years, like consistently.
Yeah, you know, I have to say, yeah.
Their face, they're so
old.
No,
but my point is where does that become my decision to tell them not to do that? Because really, what I'm seeing with chronic weed smokers or avid weed smokers is that they can't actuate. they're emotionally stunted at the age they start smoking weed. So if they've been smoking for 20 years and they started at 15, well, they really have the emotional capacity of a 15-year-old, because they don't. Then what happens? They get off of weed and they get depressed, because what happens is, I am angry. I don't know how to process my anger. I'm sad or I'm happy, and they don't know how to deal with emotions because they've been suppressed. But at the end of the day, do I think it's great? Absolutely not. Is it something that I advocate? No. Is it my place to govern that in someone else's life? And that's really the question, because I want to know more about, you know, really, how is it impairing people as far as affecting other people? Like, my rights end where yours begin, that kind of saying.
No, I agree with everything you said 100%, and it's opinion versus opinion, so that's why you put it to the vote and let America America vote on it, because it's that opinion can be argued forever without an answer.
And I was just curious. Yeah. I mean, like, are there tons of weed smoking crimes we don't know about? I mean, I'm just...
No, we don't have all the crime statistics, but I think we'll agree here that it's most definitely not for the greater good of any society.
Yeah, I would agree.
Yeah.
The weed crime, they're stealing all my weed.
You know what I mean?
But isn't that one point that people bring about conservative is like... you guys want to tell us how to live, what's good for us and what's not good for us.
Oh, yeah. Same with liberal.
Yeah.
Yeah. In fact, the difference between us and liberals is that if they hear our show, which, mind you, we've been pushed to talk radio, it's not an option. You won't. That basically, we don't shut down your show. We turn the station for it. Let's say I adamantly disagree with Howard Stern. Well, I'll flip the station. No problem.
Right.
But when it comes to liberals, they shut you down. Mm. You are not allowed to voice any opinion against what they're saying.
True.
That's just the way it works in our society, which is totally hypocritical of all this open-mindedness and tolerance that they preach.
Right.
And the one thing that a lot of people think is, oh, I don't want to be conservative because I don't want to be Republican. You don't have to be Republican to be conservative.
Right,
I mean, your vote is your vote. You vote however you want.
Right.
And speaking of that, I want to know where you guys stand on the Meg Whitman, Steve Poizner. Obviously, Jerry Brown's in the race, and the way it's looking, he's going to win regardless if you look at the current polls.
You think Jerry Brown's going to win?
Well... he didn't do a bad job as governor in the past of California, and his term limits were set after the term limits of California were set after he already did his two terms, so he could run another two terms.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Wow, that's interesting.
Yeah, but also, he was a mayor of Oakland for 8 years, and I used to work in Oakland, and I have my own views of Oakland. Yeah. You can call it Jokeland.
I think what kills the left wing is the undertones of socialism, communism, Marxism, those things. And I heard Jerry Brown on Michael Savage. Savage asked him, hey, how do you feel about statism? He's like, yeah, I think we should use a little statism. So, of course, Levin and these guys. Yeah, but you know what? Like you said, I don't need the government dictating my life. And there's been a very Marxist faction taking place within the left. You know, those liberals, open-minded, progressive is basically communist undertone. Shut you down, shut up, get out of the way. We're doing it for your own good. When somebody starts telling you that, you know it's bogus.
It's very 1984. I really feel
it's
like
very Orwellian.
You know,
you're right.
Very, very like, you know, Big Brother coming to get
you. I mean,
you.
Do you think anytime soon we're going to get a Republican governor? I mean, look, Arnold Schwarzenegger, for example, was unusual, you know, because we sort of, I think, overcorrected from the previous one, you know, and just sort of like put him in there.
You know what's funny, Sam, is when you're married to the most powerful and possibly wealthiest Democrat family in the nation, the Kennedys, and he was a big rhino, you know, and obviously the left, they hedged their bets, and who was it, poor Phil Angelides, they didn't support him much in there.
He's a bisexual foreigner.
Yeah, and that's well known, like you said. That's not just that's not slander, that's a in the bodybuilding circles in Venice Beach, well known, and so he had much of his career, and, you know, whatever, in acting and whatnot.
Yeah. So, I mean, so do you think we stand to be get a conservative government, governor?
If everyone wants to vote the way the Arizona law is voting because America is for it, we just got to see how California is for it, because that's going to be, in my opinion, the deciding factor between Poizner and Whitman. Besides, in this fight, Whitman would beat the crap out of Poizner.
No, good. Sam, no, you're right. I don't think it's necessarily conservatism. Maybe in California, of course, we're for that. But the thing is that people are tired of illegal aliens, so that's why you're hearing the word conservatism touted so much between Poizner and Whitman, you know, because who's going to seal the border? Who can do the most? We're all worried about that.
Now, California, the vote's been swayed forever. I mean, if you look at historically speaking, obviously, who founded the Republican Party? Abraham Lincoln. All blacks voted Republican until FDR. FDR did the whole New Deal, swung thing around. The black vote has, since FDR, been primarily Democrat. And in California, most of the Hispanics always voted Republican until 1994 when the immigration laws and Pete Wilson set it forth.
Oh, really?
Then everything swinged, and then all the Hispanic vote went to the Democrat. So right now in California, when you say Republican, ding, you're brainwashed to think white.
Yeah.
White male. I mean, you're not, you don't even. I mean, I know lots of Hispanic Republicans. I know a whole bunch of them. And they're like, hey, listen, my family's been in California four generations. I'm very conservative. Don't make fun of me because I'm Mexican. You know, Mexican descent or whatnot. But I think if it comes down to Whitman and Brown, I personally think Brown might win. But if it comes down to Poizner and Brown, I think Poizner would beat him.
Oh, really?
So, and wow, I actually, I want Poizner to win. I like his views on the. Solely on the immigration laws of Arizona.
Yeah.
You know, I think it's like the fundamental root is with a lot of people is the government here to take care of us, or is the government here to protect us? And those really divide people, because you have a lot of people that it's been bred into their culture that the government's here to provide for you.
Yeah, very much so.
And there's an entitled kind of, what are you going to do for me? How are you going to take care of me? And they don't even stop to think that that's, is that even their job, or is that what I should be looking to them for them to do and to, you know, take care of me? And there really is a really cruxed difference in the mind, you know, mm-hmm. where people are coming to.
Kara, I totally agree. In fact, government is only meant to provide safety and minimal infrastructure. It is not meant to sit there and take care of you cradle to grave. And no, I don't want to pay my student loans. I want food stamps my whole life. I want these things. It is not there to do that and to strip down the rich or make class warfare, gender warfare, race warfare, everything the Obama administration does. We're based on self-reliance. You're supposed to provide for you and your family.
I mean, what was John F. Kennedy's, one of his most famous quotes?
I don't remember, like something to Marilyn or...
Don't ask what your country can do for you. Ask what you can do for your country.
Yeah, there you go. That one's good, too.
Speaking of Kennedy, he would actually be a conservative by today's principles.
Yeah,
John Kennedy, and that's the type of Democrat we'd like to see go out there if one were to, but not these Marxists that keep putting up there. Look at all the czars. They're literally all communist Marxists, these horrible ties.
What's going on with the czars, man? How is that even legal? How is that even possible?
They're all radically anti-Second Amendment. They're all anti-white, anti-military. All these things keep coming out. You know, it's ridiculous. And to sit there and activists beyond coincidence that, I selected this random panel. You know, they're selected for a reason.
Yes. We were talking about this earlier, speaking of conservatism and racism. Besides Alan Keyes, I really don't know one black who voted against Obama. And if Rob sums this up, he'll probably take it from me here. But if you actually talk to most black people in Southern California and around, most of them vote conservative. And they don't even know it. But they voted for Obama because hope.
Yeah.
Audacity, you know. But if you look at their views... stereotype, but
no, Justin's saying, exactly what he's saying is by view. Hey, you ask many African Americans, how do you feel about, you want English only, against abortion, people of God, want the border closed, those type things. Well, those are pretty conservative views. Then, why did you vote for Barack? Oh, the big obvious, the racial factor. Right, and so we're saying that. But you will notice a recent thing came out where in the Tea Party, 32 black candidates are aligning themselves with the Tea Party because why don't they say that, hey, Obama can win? There's a chance, and most of their views typically line up with conservative views, generally speaking.
Right. Okay, well, Justin and Rob, thank you so much. We are out of time. And thanks for making the trip down. I really appreciate it, man.
No, Sam, you and Kara have a wonderful show, and thank you so much for
having us. Thank you, and you guys have a great show, too. Everybody catch the show Thursday, 7 p.m. on Channel 2, Long Live America. You guys are doing a great job.
Thank you guys for joining us.
No, thank you, Sam.
Awesome. And Kara, thank you, and have
thanks,
a great weekend.
Thanks, Sam. Talk to you later.
And we'll see everybody. Actually, have a great 3-day weekend, and we'll be back here on Tuesday.
Sam and Kara in the Morning, which airs every weekday from 9 a.m. until 11 a.m. Pacific Standard Time, originating from the Los Angeles Talk Radio studios. If you have questions about the show or would like to inquire about sponsorship opportunities, please direct all correspondence to info@latalkradio.com. Sam and Kara in the Morning is a production of LA Talk Radio. We say what we want.